608. And we have Mark's flag there. We can say pledge to. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
The Republic
stands
one nation
under God, indivisible, liberty, justice for all. Thank you. I didn't stand up. I'm sorry. Okay. Roll calls. Please answer here if you're here. Ray Bowers?
Here.
Jimmy Butler?
Here.
Chris Carloni?
Present.
Brian Capullo? Rob Forte?
Here.
Michael Gray? Cookies on yet. Carlo Malerba? Rose Pertoso? Sammy Palasco?
Here.
Is that you, Rose?
No, it's me, Sammy.
I'm here. We don't have a problem. Somebody has their thing on. Okay.
Did you hear me? I'm here.
Yep, I got you.
Okay, sorry.
Anybody from the public who wishes to speak? Anybody from the public who wishes to speak? Anybody want to speak from the public? Okay, I'm going to close the public portion. Lost my freaking pencil. All right. Do we have the people here from Anchor Engineering?
We do, ma'am. From Anchor Engineering, it's going to be TJ and Scott Atkin and TJ Terriol. If you guys can unmute yourselves, Scott and TJ. Scott's unmuted, and TJ, if you could. Okay, they're unmuted, ma'am. So the premise for tonight is Anchor's, you guys asked, and we're bringing you Anchor Engineering because they're doing the stormwater study, and it appears that this year the budget has $30,000 in it. They were thinking or expecting about $63,000 worth of work this year, and then they have continued work next year and possibly the year after. So to give everyone the context of what is their scope of work, what are they doing, and how long is it going to be in remaining years, and what's the dollars associated with, you asked them to come tonight and they're here to present. In your budget document, what you'll see is this year had $30,000. We're going to come back to you at the next regular meeting to increase that line item because they did do some work above the $30,000, and then next year we put in $70,000, because this stopped work right now, and they're going to have to pick this remaining work up in July because there's not enough money in the current budget. So that's the backdrop to tonight, and I'll turn it over to TJ and Scott and Andrew if Backlick can chime in if so needed. TJ, Scott, all yours.
Thank you. So thanks for having us come in tonight or Zoom in tonight, I guess. I've been there with you folks or with the aldermen over the course of the last couple of years to talk about the MS4 stormwater program. This is a general permit that the state implemented back a few years ago. It's good for 5 years, so that's up to 2022. And it covers almost every municipality in the state. It's based on your size and the amount of urban area that you have. But Derby is one of the municipalities that it covers. And the point of it is this is a discharge permit that basically allows you to discharge out of your stormwater system to wetlands, water bodies, the ground. And because it's a general permit, it's sort of like a permit by rule, wherein they lay out what you have to do and you have to comply. And so when we first came and spoke to you folks and first started working with the Department of Public Works and the mayor's office, what had happened was Derby was a couple of years behind. And had also been referred to the EPA and paid a couple of fines over the course of the years for being behind. There was a previous version of this general permit back from 2011 that, a little bit of stuff had been done on, but hadn't really followed through all the way. So our goal was to get you on track with that, with the requirements as they're outlined in that general permit. So, you know, we worked on getting a bunch of the sampling completed, the stormwater management plan in place, and looking at some of your existing regulations and mapping. And then over the course of the past year, what we've done is sort of been expanding upon that. Your stormwater management plan's in place, but your illicit discharge program, that's the program where you're saying, okay, we've got an outfall that's flowing when it's been dry weather. Is that just groundwater? Is there a water leak nearby? Is somebody discharged, somebody's sewer line connected to the storm drains? Are people discharging their washing machines to the storm system? You know, what's going on? Is there some kind of illicit discharge? Is a business discharging through floor drains and having it come out? You're surrounded, you know, on almost all sides by water. You got the Housatonic River and the Naugatuck River are both considered impaired waters by DEP and EPA. And Two Mile Brook is also an impaired waterway. When we were first working, the town had identified 38 outfalls, pipe ends usually. And over the course of the last couple of years, that number's currently, I think, at 142 outfalls. They all have to be checked during dry weather to see if they if there's evidence of an illicit discharge. We've got some field tests that we do. We also grab samples and collect them for bacteria analysis. Those have to get back to the laboratory. They can't be tested in the field. One of the important parts of the program from EPA's perspective and the thing that they've really been pushing the state to make sure that all the towns do is the system mapping. This is something that, you know, we were told that there was some mapping that had been done, you know, 15, 20 years ago. In the course of the last year, we've been able to come up with some of it through the Water Pollution Control and Public Works. But what we found as we've been out in the field is things don't really line up. You know, you've got an outfall, you've got catch basins and pipes connecting, and you go out there and they've either been changed or they're not there. Sanitary sewer is connected to stormwater, which is probably part of the impact from the bacteria that we're seeing in the two main rivers. So we've mapped about a third of the town. I think it's about close to 3 miles worth of piping, 700 different connections, over 300 catch basins have been mapped. And we're taking all this information, putting it on the map. We're using that to track those hot spots, the illicit discharges, track upstream and try to find the source so that we can identify the source and figure out what's the best way to mitigate those sources and reduce the impact to the waterways. We focused on 4 major drainage areas over the course of the last year. It was 28 samples. And as we've identified new outfalls and we've ranked those as far as what ones, you know, show impacts, which ones are the highest priority. The other component of the work that we've been doing is helping the Public Works Department with one of their components under the general permit, which is tracking the work that gets done, including it in the annual report. You probably remember when this thing first came out, there was a lot of calls and some hearings that I went to because, you know, it's just another unfunded mandate. You know, that's how a lot of the towns looked at it, and rightfully so. DEP was getting pressure from EPA and really putting pressure on the towns, and, you know, there was required leaf pickups, and there were towns like Lebanon saying, we're all trees. Why are you requiring leaf pickups here? there were all these things that were kind of laid out. Well, they made the final version a little more flexible, but you still have to track a lot of information. How many times you put, how much sand you put down, how many road miles you did in a year. There's requirements for annual training, which we actually pushed off this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic and not wanting to get people together. But we laid out last year, you know, that about a $60,000 budget, as Keith mentioned. And I had thought that it had all been approved, but apparently, we did the work that we did, but there's still more to be done to finish up. I know that one of the questions was, well, how much of this, you know, how long is this going to go on?
It'd be good to know.
Yeah. Well, the current general permits through 20.
Because we're not the water board, we're the tax boards. We're trying to figure this out, please.
We're 3 years into five. A lot of the work is up front, but there's still, A, you're a little bit behind still, and B, there's always new requirements, unfortunately. It's just the way the EPA is pushing, currently pushing the states, and the states pushing back on the towns.
So when does the year three, that would be completed at the end of this month? That's the end of year three? Is it on a fiscal calendar?
Yeah,
or
at the end of June.
Okay,
so it's a fiscal calendar. So the end of year three is the end of this month.
Okay.
And
you were given $30,000 this fiscal year, and so what's your shortfall on that?
TJ, remember how much?
$40,000, right? $70,000.
No, that's what we're proposing for next year. I'm trying to get this year figured out.
I'm just trying to get my head wrapped around this whole thing. So you're proposing $70,000 for next year?
Yeah, but hang on, Sammy. I want to go step by step. Just hang on a minute, please.
This year they asked for 63, they got 30.
Okay, so this year it was asking 63, they got 30, and then they've spent all 30, I see, from the report.
Correct, so I'm gonna come back to you this week or next week for a transfer into that line for some of the work they did above 30, because we told them to stop work.
Okay.
But then they're gonna pick up in July if you approve the 70.
But that's now another fountain there. Okay.
Correct.
So for the back through the end of June, we're going to owe them, we've already given them 30, and there's going to be a bit more we're going to have to transfer in from somewhere, right?
About 23.
Oh, that much? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So they're going to need 53 to complete the 19-20 year. Okay. So then, TJ, the question would be, was it TJ? Yeah. So you're going to do two more years and then you're done. Is that correct? As far as the state's mandate is?
Fortunately, the permit hasn't, this version of the permit has expired.
Hello? Hello? Did I lose you?
Judy, can you hear TJ? If not, I'll jump in. This is Scott. So the permit expires in 2 years, June of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation is that it'll either be extended, asking you to continue investigating illicit discharges, or it will be, they'll come out with a new one.
So of the 100 and, I'm sorry, TJ, I had you and guys mixed up. So, okay. So you said you found 142 outfalls so far.
Correct.
You've only been able to map 30.
Now, I said we've mapped about 30% of the town.
Oh, 30%.
Of the city. Yeah, that includes pipes, catch basins, manholes, and then, you're looking at the outfall, and then you're looking back upstream to figure out what all the mapping is, what the system looks like, so that we can track back the, where's the hotspots coming from.
Okay, so you guys still have to map 70% of our city, right?
Roughly.
Okay, and so what are you thinking? So you're asking for 70 for this coming year, and then you're thinking another 70 then for the year five?
My hope is that it will be less. Kind of depends. The issue that we've had, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, sorry, but is that finding in the field is really a lot different than, what we're given as a starting point. And you're fine, like I mentioned before, we've got at least one or two spots where we're seeing that the sewer is connected to the storm. So that's a direct sewage discharge out towards the river, not going into the sewer treatment plant. So, yeah, I'm hoping that next year we're coming back and we're much further along than the 30%. We're closer to, you know, 90 or 100%. And then we're just talking about tracing back hotspots in the annual reports and the annual trainings for the following year.
So the five-year thing, which includes the mapping and the dry testing and the regular testing, which will end. So it could be worst case, you're thinking it'll be 70 this year and then 70 the next year, the fifth year. That'd be like the worst case, you think, for that part.
At this point, I think that's worst case.
I mean, we got to work with something, so I'd rather work with worst case. So, but then after that, and the 5 years are over, then you guys still have to do then an annual testing for us. Is that just an ongoing thing?
At a minimum, there'll be an ongoing thing. So at the end of this month, what we're going to do is pick the six worst, and there's going to be a requirement to test those annually. And then they'll still want annual training for public works employees and parks and recs employees, and an annual report filed with the state.
So what would be just a rough estimate of that? So what are we looking on an annual basis? Once, that's assuming now we're all mapped and caught up and everything, and we're just going forward.
I mean, hopefully you'd be looking at less than 10.
Okay.
It really depends. The other factor that plays into it is when we find these sources, you know, how quickly can we take care of them? How quickly can the town either get the owner to take care of them or take care of it themselves if it's a town issue? So there may be budget that's required in the future that's not town or that's not for consultant, but that will be, you know, specific public works and city engineer type projects.
Right. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, we're just worried about you guys, right?
Yep.
So, all right. So, is anybody from the board have like to ask questions from either Scott or from TJ? Sammy. Yeah. Oh. Chris, go ahead, please.
Okay. Now you say that property owners are these infiltrations from your gutters and such like that? Is that what you're talking about?
No, gutter water is typically allowed, as is sump pump discharges, general runoff. But this would be if somebody's got either purposefully or not purposefully got a connection to the stormwater that shouldn't be to the stormwater that should be to the sewer.
I see. And all right. Thank you. That's all.
Yep.
Sammy, did you want
to? Stanford, and they've been running cameras a lot for the last couple of years, and they found a whole apartment building, you know, like a 5-story apartment building, where all the showers were connected to the storm drains, not to the to the sanitary. You know, in that case, the property owner needed to fix that connection.
Sure, there's many spins out there covered up by the pavement. Okay, we were next. Sammy?
38 outfalls. When you originally started, this was the mapping that you had found through our office, and then it went out to 142 outfalls?
Yeah, so working with the previous director, he gave us a list. He had the crews go out, and they came up with 38 outfalls. I think when I was there last year and talking to you folks, we were at about close to 90 that we had seen as we're going to the 38. And then there's been, you know, these additional ones observed in the last year. And these are ones draining town streets. You know, we're not sampling outfalls off of Route 8 or you know, other state highways.
So now with this new finding, are we updating our system with this? I mean, we gave you 38, you got 142.
Yeah, we're putting it all into GIS, the mapping, so that we can get it back to the city.
Okay. And you did some mapping 15, 20 years ago. You found out some of it. What did you find 15? I mean, how antiquated is this? You said that you found some stuff earlier.
Yeah, when we first started working, you know, we knew that, was it Woodard and Kern had done, or maybe it was Malone, had supposedly done a study in the early 2000s of the sanitary system and the catch bay and the storm system. And, you know, we were really trying to get our hands on that mapping and that documentation and couldn't come up with it. The DPW had been through a bunch of the files at the town, talked to some of the people who'd been with the town for quite a while, trying to find the records. And this past year, we did get a bunch from the guys down at the Water Pollution Control Authority. But like I said, unfortunately, what we're finding is things that look like they go from here to there actually go from here in a completely different direction.
Okay. Last but not least, my only other question that I brought up was, you've been working with Public Works. Is that part of the, can you expand on that a little bit about what you've been doing with Public Works?
Yeah. So we've been working pretty closely both with Public Works and the mayor's office over the last couple of years. And this general permit's got six major features, and one of them is about Public Works and how they operate and what they're doing to help keep the waters of the state and, you know, our wetlands and water courses clean through things like street sweeping and how much do they do street sweeping. What kind of repairs are they doing to catch basins and the stormwater system? Trying to minimize fertilizer use, so those types of things.
And how's that coming out? What were your findings?
So far, so good. You know, I'd say that the current director and the past director both, you know, once they become aware of things, they're both want to do the right thing and help the city comply with the general permit requirements.
How much of this money? And all this in the past year, would you say you have exonerated on that study?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Sorry.
Well, part of this money that we're paying you, right, is working with Public Works and doing everything that you just said to me. I want to know how much money we have exonerated on that.
In this past year,
you spent roughly $53,000. I would say I'm asking how much of this that you've just explained to me with the Public Works and helping and doing everything you just said to mitigate the fertilizer and the outfall and all that, how much would you say that you have?
I'd estimate in the 10 to 15% of the overall money spent.
And that's going to continue year after year?
I think that there's a component of that as we work with them, they'll become more used to some of the tracking features and the requirements, and it'll probably decrease over time. That would be my expectation.
Anybody else have any other questions?
Oh yeah, I have another one if you don't mind.
Yeah, Chris, please.
How many samples do you have to actually send to a lab and have tested out of these 147 outfalls?
So what we do is we go out there when it's been dry for 2 days. And if there's a flow, we collect a sample. And if there's not a flow, then we don't collect the sample. And then there's also a requirement to do wet weather sampling, so during a rainstorm. And that's for the ones that discharge to Two Mile River, Housatonic and Naugatuck. Okay. Derby is a little different than most towns because of your enforcement history directly with EPA, where they want additional wet weather testing at outfalls, partially because it hadn't been done from 2011 to 2016 when it was supposed to have been done, but partially because of some of the high concentrations in the rivers there.
Okay, but how many different areas do you have to sample and test?
So it depends on if there's flow or not, Mr. Carloni. If there's no flow, then we don't test. But when it's raining, we have to sample most of those 142 during a rain event because of EPA requirements.
And how many times a year do you have to test for rain events?
One time.
One time a year?
One time during the course of this 5 years. Then we pick the worst, and we test those once a year.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So it's got to get to all of them at least once when it's raining and once when it's dry.
Right.
And then the things that aren't behave that look suspicious, and they have to be regular.
Huh. Well, if we have a hot spot or if we have an outfall that has high contaminants, then we have to do a catchment investigation. So then we're working up the system and collecting from catch basins, trying to pinpoint where the source and the pollutants are coming from.
Okay. Anybody else have questions?
When you don't have a hotspot, do you have to continuously year after year continue to hit that? If you know you're good there and you got a bad spot, I would expect that you would go to that. So the 142 outfalls can all of a sudden become 50, right? So all of a sudden we wouldn't need that money.
Correct. Once we get one round of dry or wet sample from an outfall, if it's clean, then we stop. If it's dirty, then we rank them, and we're focusing on the highest concentrated pollutant ones and collecting more samples upstream from the outfall.
Right, so that's why we're on the 3 of 5 years. So eventually we're going to get down to nothing, and then we won't have to spend. So where are we coming up with 70,000 for this that you're asking for in the budget? Whereas last year we gave you 30.
Well, we were anticipating 63. We thought we had been given the approval for the 63, so we started doing work on that. We had no idea about that it was at 30. I would say 75% of the efforts that we conducted this last year were on the mapping. We started tracing some of these bad outfalls back, and the problem was that the mapping wasn't complete, so we couldn't find where the next spot was to collect the sample to try to pinpoint where the pollutant source was coming from. So then we started working on more of the mapping to get a better complete system, which is a requirement of the permit, and they want that in place. And that's really the key element to tracing these pollutants back, is having the mapping complete. And what we've been finding is incomplete and inconsistent at best.
If we do our homework and this gets all mapped through all these efforts for the 5 years, and then we're careful, et cetera, et cetera, it shouldn't be a lot annually.
Right. No. What's the
mapping? If we're conscientious.
The big ticket price is the mapping. And once that's in place, it's done, and it's a great resource, and it's something that would take little to update on an annual basis. Okay. You know, if you guys do a road improvement and you install a new catch basin, then you just plug that one catch basin into the system. Once the GIS mapping is all complete, that's a resource for you guys to use going down the road, and the effort will be minimum to update it.
Okay, thank you. So are we all set, guys?
Yeah.
Everybody? Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate your work and coming in and giving us a good summary on this.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you. If you have any other questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Good night. Bye. So before we, our next one is just going to be where we run through the budget. But before we do that, I promised Brian Metzepel that I would let him talk to us about storms, because he has places to be, like we all do. Well, actually, we don't, but we could if we did stuff like he does. So, Brian, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And I have Dan from my finance committee also on here.
Okay, Dan. Before you start, let me just update the board. So, last year, let's see if I'm in here. Find you guys. There you are. So last year we ended up giving them $60,000 and they have already spent that. So that has been spent. And for this year, they're asking for $100,000. And Brian has requested sent in his in their tax forms. What is that? The 900? What's the number for that? The
The 990.
990. And so that I sent out to you guys yesterday, I think, or today. So you would have seen that. And so now, why don't you start, Brian, and just basically give us a rundown of what's going on, and then I'm sure we'll have questions for you. Okay.
Yeah, basically we're, you know, again, requesting $100,000. This year we're already have a 10% reduction in revenue from billing. So, which it continues to go down year to year, which is about $50,000, which is half of what we're asking for.
Yeah. So Brian, just a quick correction. Our budget that we produced and I think submitted was based on a 10% reduction due to COVID. And
yes,
that's since been updated, and it's down more than 22% for billing.
Okay.
So yeah, so we're continuing to see a decrease in our revenue from billing, even with the getting the full 100 from the city. We're still going to have to go for probably a $20,000 line of credit this year just to continue to operate the way we are. We've continued to bid. Cut costs and try to save money where we can, but we just continue to not get the funding we need to, with our billing just continuing to plummet.
All related to the COVID?
The other part is just we don't get the return amounts from Medicare and Medicaid as we would with private insurance, which we continue to get more and more patients that have Medicare, Medicaid as insurance as opposed to private insurance. So the majority of our calls, that's where we're getting the revenue from, is those types of insurances.
We see 80 to 90% of the calls that we do are on fixed payer sources. So those are your Medicares and Medicaids. And those are typically, the Medicare is about 40% payment on the bill, and Medicaid is in the 20% range of what we can collect from a normal bill.
Has that changed though over time, or?
It hasn't changed. The mix has changed. The mix went from primarily Medicare, which is the higher percentage, to Medicaid, which is the significantly lower percent.
That's what's causing then the shift.
Okay. Correct. With the government regulations pushing it down to the states, it's hurting us.
And then how has the COVID affected you guys?
Dan, go ahead. You can explain it better.
So COVID, we are seeing somewhat of a reduction in, Brian, you can correct me, in call volumes, but we are seeing a significant reduction in overall collection rates.
Our call volume definitely went down quite a bit initially. It is starting to stabilize back to normal amounts. But with everything going on, especially now, we aren't, pushing people to collections and stuff like that. We're not really able to do that. Just overall, with the call volume being down and with not getting the returns we need to.
Okay, so the Medicaid is more of an ongoing, and looks like it's going to continue to be more and more of a problem. The COVID is sort of a temporal thing.
We're hoping.
Hopefully, we'll get better soon. Yeah. So maybe you'll get
to
pick up rioters and stuff soon. That might give you a little more. So. Okay, so.
And then the one other thing we wanted to bring up, which we get questioned about every year, is our little bit of a savings account, rainy day fund, that we keep to be able to, when we have a big repair that needs to be done, you know, we're able to fix those things right away because it is emergency equipment. We need to be able to operate all the time. Because we keep getting these reductions, we've had to tap into that account just to continue normal operations. And if we don't get the funding we get from the city of $100,000, we're going to have to tap into that even more this year, and probably bring it pretty close down to zero, and then we won't be able to make any major repairs if we needed to.
Yeah, it's very likely. We're definitely in danger of depleting that that account, which, you know, we've talked about it in the past. It's minuscule when you talk about our operations. It's, you know, it's 10% of our annual budget, and you know, without that, we wouldn't be able to repair an ambulance if it did get if it did have a major breakdown. So we're definitely at risk there.
Okay. So Ray, did you have a chance to check over the stuff you were interested in? Do you have questions?
Yeah, and again, my only question, and they somewhat addressed it there, and that was always not my complaint, but what I sort of gauged as a barometer over the past 4 or 5 years that I've been on the board, the balance in their cash account has gone up. I think in 2014 it was $50,000, and then 2015 it was $75,000. 2016, it was 104. It went up in 2017. So that was my concern was, and I think we even cut the budget from 100 to 50, and their cash balance went up. So to me, just looking at it that way, well, then we've given you, you know, more than you needed, because every year their cash balance has gone up. Now, from the tax return that we've gotten for 2019, it went from 120 to 129. And really, that's my question. Is that what you need, is a working balance of cash, is $130,000 in the account?
So typically we keep our operating account, and we keep about $50,000 in it. And that's good for about a month's worth of bills, depending upon the pay cycle with our staffing vendor. And we keep about $70,000 typically in that rainy day account. You know, being fully transparent, $70,000, that's, you know, a little over 10% of our annual budget, like we talked about. We've already had to use transfer $25,000 of that into our operating account for this year. You know, so yes, like, while you see the $120,000, which is, you know, 50 in our operating and 70 in our capital, we'll call it, account, you know, that's really pretty minuscule. And that's, you know, that keeping that amount on hand was enough, like Brian said, to cover a major repair. If we blow an engine or a transmission in our rescue truck right now, we're going to deplete that 40K immediately. It's going to be gone. We'll have nothing else that we can rely on to cover our expenses. You know, like any good business, we keep cash on hand. We need to keep cash on hand. And this year especially, we're in a pretty dire situation. I understand the city's probably in the same exact position, but, you know, we have to keep operating. And if we don't get the support, we will not be able to keep operating.
Okay.
And with the decline in call volume, as you mentioned, due to COVID, you know, the last 3 months, your expenses don't go down, conversely?
The only expenses that go down are medical supplies. And, you know, medical supplies account for about $20,000 of our $500,000 budget. So we still have to keep our ambulances on the road. They still have to be maintained. We still have to staff 24/7, regardless of whether there's a call. We have to have people ready to take it. If we don't have people ready to take it, A, we lose that revenue, and two, we don't provide our citizens the level of service that they need, that they deserve.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You still need the staff.
And that seems to be the case in most of the businesses. Did anyone else have any questions for this gentleman? This is your opportunity. Okay, I think we're good. If we have more questions, though, I will let you know.
Okay. I will be. I'll stay on for a little while. I know Dan has to go. Okay. So yeah. I'll just be listening in.
Okay, perfect. Thank you,
Dan. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, so my intent now is to do a walk through the budget.
Judy, I thought we were going to do senior center real quick.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So I would like to pull up their budget though first. So let me go ahead and show my thing to the screen.
Don't you see it up there or no?
But I want mine.
Oh, you want yours?
Mine has special numbers, extra.
Oh, okay. Let me stop sharing mine.
Special than yours. Yours is nice, but mine is special. All right. So
let me give you
for example, your how much we've used so far this year is in a separate sheet. Mine are all together in the same sheet, see?
And we'll use yours. Yours is better than mine.
I have bolding in the appropriate places. Mine is very beautiful. So how do I get it up there? Let me see. Did I just say share?
Yes, share screen.
It says share screen. It says share. I can't see for some reason the bottom of this thing. My computer is very bad. So at the bottom, there's a thing that shows the 18 participants.
It'll say share screen in green. I'm colorblind, so it says something.
Share. Okay. I'm going to click it. Bam. Ooh. I don't want to share that. Okay.
It'll ask you to pick the screen you want. Pick the one.
Okay.
Like the window you want.
I did. Can you guys see it?
Yes. Beautiful.
Yes.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Gorgeous.
It's even highlighting, see? Okay. So we're going to go down to the senior center.
Yeah, 6,800.
They got lots of highlighting.
If I could just give a backdrop before Christine starts. You want to scroll up a little more, Judy, so you get all
Hold on, I'm going to get it all on this
No problem.
Bam.
Okay. All right. So good evening. Thank you very much. The Senior Center. I just want to create a setting for this because, you know, I know we live in an environment where everything's a conspiracy theory and everyone has like hidden agendas, but I want to be very clear as to why we didn't do the Senior Center last week. Three reasons. Don't get choked up over it.
It's okay. It's going to be okay.
Here's why. One, it was not in my original pool of 9 or 10 top hitters. There's no conspiracy to hide the senior center. Number two, Christine and I were working on, and Andrew were working on fine-tuning the budget so that she submitted a budget that was realistic but addressed the issues. So if you look at the numbers that Judy has on the screen, we've already been able to tweak some of the numbers downward to help the overall budget. So before Christine gets into the variances, I just want to go to transportation quick, Judy, the 12,476.
Yeah.
And you see a big jump there from the 4,240. Now, let me do a side note for a second. Since a lot of these operations have been closed for the last 2 or 3 months, the burn rate or the expenditure year to date is skewed. So while it's been skewed in our favor, the reality is if we open up and we have a full year operational, full 260 days, the expenses are going to go back up. So year-to-date expenditures don't properly reflect the full year. But that 1246 includes the same 4240 for the field trips and bus trips and whatnot, but it includes 8,476 for a driver. And before Christine takes the stage, it's the backdrop. Remember, we bought that bus for them to use to help on trips and save money. That bus is still sitting in a parking lot waiting to be used. So that big increase is 8,476 for the driver. If you go down to building operations, we were able to tweak that a little bit in that the new number is 25,650.
Get to change that?
Yes, ma'am. And what we did there is the door, there was a door in there, emergency door for 5,000 that capital planning actually got done this year. And then the elevator contract, we were able to reduce it to 250 a month. So we're able to cut 3,000 out for that. So we eliminated the elevator or reduced the elevator budget by 3,000. We eliminated the door, which Capital paid for 1,000. And then we took 1,200 out because there's a cable project to get internet and high Wi-Fi went on. So we were able to get the cable company to absorb most of it. So we took 1,200 out. So that new number is 25,650.
Okay.
Now restricted transportation, just that's the 25,000, Judy?
Yep.
Two down? Yep. Okay. If you go to the current year, 1920, this just appears to be a budgeting issue. Go three to the left, Judy, to the 25,000 in 1920. There you go. Okay, so what happened here is there was an account that had money that the library closed, and it's restricted for transportation, for field trips and whatnot. And that money went deposited into the city. So what happened here is to account for it, the city put the 25,000 in their operating budget. And that makes sense from the standpoint of that's what their operating is, including this checking account that was closed and the money was moved to the city. Just to be transparent, what we're figuring out here is this is not properly booked. And what I mean by that is you have it as an expense in the senior center. It's really not, because they gave us that cash. So what's going to happen is next year, you don't need 25,000 in there. So to the right, the 2021, 25,000, that does not need to be in there, because I think there's about 20 grand from the 25,000 in 1920 that's remaining. The problem with where it's booked is it goes into your taxable expenditures. This was cash that was put into that account when they closed the separate banking account. So there's two ways for us to treat it. For an apples and apples comparison, we leave it in both years for now. But understanding, we do not have to tax for the 25,000 in 2021. It's just going to be what's left from the cash that was put in 1920. So we could leave both in, which leaves the bottom line comparable, or we take both out. If we take both out, my concern is in 1920, unfortunately, you taxed for it. So what I ask the board is, let's leave it in there so the bottom line has it in both years. But when we determine the taxable expenditures, I'm going to move it out of there and put it back into a special reserve fund. So we're leaving it there so people understand it's money that was in the budget. But the problem is you cannot tax for it because it's cash that was given to us by the senior center. So this is really semantical in that we could take the both 25 out, or we leave it both in both years.
So before we set the mill rate, et cetera, you were going to take that out, you're saying?
Yes, ma'am. What I would do, if everyone's okay with it, is take it out of 1920. We'll do it with a board vote. Move it to a special reserve fund, like we do the special education, because this was cash that came from an outside bank account into the city. It shouldn't be taxed, and it shouldn't be used to determine the mill rate. And then I'll reduce the 2021 by the 25,000, and that you don't have to put it in next year's number. We'll put it in a special reserve fund in the next month, next 20 days. Therefore, excuse me, it's out of 1920, and it's not part of the taxable expenditures in 2021. But I wanted to explain it, so tonight when you see it, you're like, what is that? That is not our money. That's money that came from the senior center checking account, and it shouldn't have been in 1920 in the department budget, but it was, and that's okay. I understand why. But we'll back it out before we do a mill rate calculation.
Well, it's just going to be kind of there for looks for now. It's fine. I mean, I don't care, but you know, I could put a duck over there too, take it out before. So okay, but it was in last month, so that shows that at least they didn't go up, and that it's not like they're making their budget higher because of that.
Right.
Their last year. Okay, so they're up $30,000 without any need to look at the stuff. Okay. So
Christine is here, and she could go through the other line items, but I wanted to give you those items so you understand on a macro level, it's really not as bad as it looks from that perspective.
Still looks kind of bad, but
I said not as bad.
Well, okay. Not as bad. kind of bad. It wouldn't look as bad as we took it out from last year, too, that it would be straight across. But, yeah, like you said, it's just semantics. I understand totally, Keith. So just if I start this off, is it Christine I'm going to talk to?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good, Judy. How are you?
Good. So on the transportation number one, have you guys not ever had a driver before? Is this a
We've never had a driver. They purchased the van in 2019 before I came, and we tried to get volunteers to drive, but they've never had a driver. So the van has not been used as of this year since I've been here.
So how did you get people places? Just in cars or?
They any trip that's usually done through an outside vendor. So if whether it's getaway tours or anything like that, anything that they wanted to do that was around here, if we were able to use Valley Transit, you know, to go to Captain's Cove, they did that when I first started here a couple times, but it has to work with that with Valley Transit's schedule.
So you would rent the transportation and the driver?
Valley Transit. My understanding is that there's a free trip a month in their schedule, but I mean in their contract, but it has to fit into their schedule, and they we don't have a clear indication from them about how far they can go or the period of time. The two trips that we had when we first started were 2 hours or 3 hours, I'm sorry.
So about how many trips do you guys take every year, or would you expect to take, assuming you had a driver?
I definitely think that they would do more. They would do at least probably two trips a week if they could, because they want to go out to restaurants. They want to go down to the shore. There's things that they've wanted to do that we don't have drivers for. They're, you know, go to the plays and stuff up at Elam Park. You know, there's different activities that they would really like to do and have been requesting to do, and that's why they wanted the van, but we didn't have a driver.
And what monies did you buy the van with?
My understanding is they used that restricted transportation account to purchase a van from Valley Transit for $4,999.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So that was the expense in last year that came out of the 25. Okay.
Exactly.
So you got a van, you got no driver. But what's a driver going to do when he's not? Of course, this is not a huge amount of salary. What, $8,000 about?
Well, yeah, roughly. I think, too, the other thing we would like to do is get them to pick up from the housing, the valley, you know, the housing and senior housing areas and bring the people here that don't get here. That's one of the other reasons why they want to use the van, so that we can schedule pickups and have them pick up people, bring them here, and then bring them back to the senior housing complexes.
Instead of the Valley Transit doing it?
Valley Transit only does that one day a week, and it's very time constrained. They get picked up about 10 o'clock in the morning and dropped off here, and they don't pick them back up until between 3:30 and 4, so they're kind of stuck here. So not very many people use it. I think I have one person that for the last, before we closed, probably used it once a month for the past like 3 months prior to us closing.
That may be something we want to look into, because we've been giving them $10,000 a year to haul people around, but I'm sure it's not just your people. So, okay.
Yeah, we're trying to get a clear indication as to.
So, did you guys get the price? Like, if you were to, for the amount of times you guys go places, it would be more expensive, I'm assuming, if you were to rent something each time?
No, basically, every month I get charged $80 a week. It's a flat fee of $80 a week, but we don't have a clear indication. They take them shopping on Fridays, but it's not just it's not just people from the senior center. So we're trying to get an idea of how many senior center members actually are using the van.
Okay.
Every Friday they do shopping trips, but that's for the area. It just happens to encompass the senior center.
By they, you mean the Valley Transit?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. So you would be doing some of the stuff the Valley Transit does, because they don't seem to have a very convenient schedule, and then you guys would be adding extra stuff in as well.
Yeah, so this way we can pick up, if people want to come here, you know, 5 days a week to the center at, from a senior housing complex, we can pick them up and drop them off. Therefore, they're not sitting here for, you know, 6 hours and there's only two programs they want to attend. We could kind of make a schedule and do that. And if they wanted to do a shopping trip to the outlets or something, then we could do that in between. You know, there's other things that we can do, okay, special events wise.
How would you pay the driver? How would he be paid, by trip or by a weekly, or what would be the arrangement with him?
I'm guessing, right, my thought process right now would be based on what hours we need them, you know, and I did the, I think I did it based on 10 hours or 12 hours a week, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's 10 hours a week.
10 hours a week. Okay, so that's going to be 520 hours, so...
Yeah, if we needed something 1 week more because the trip was longer, then we would go with that, you know.
So they'll be making about $15 an hour, and probably what is a, I would assume is a subcontractor, not as an employee, right?
That's what I would need to figure out with the city.
It would,
yeah,
be, it would be a 1099 employee duty, not a W-2.
Yeah, correct. Please.
And that's why I left it in the transportation line. It was okay, originally up in a 110 dash, I think it was a 0113, which would be more of a W-2 employee. So I pushed it down here and put it in the transportation as a 1099.
Yeah, because no way we want to add another employee to all of the roles of healthcare.
But it's based on between 10 and 12 hours a week at 12, like 12.50 an hour, roughly.
Okay. Yeah, it depends if it's 10 or 12. Okay, sounds good. And then how about your... postage is going up. Is that a new, something new you're doing?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Your postage is going up.
Postage went up because the bulk mailing price went up because we're not a non-for-profit. So we had to, they had to change the bulk mailing rate. So the bulk mailing, it's costing us to send out the newsletters about $250 a month to do that. So we're in a different category bulk mailing wise.
Is that something new that happened?
Yeah, it happened about, I want to say 3 or 4 months into us being here.
Okay.
That we got that from the post office.
Is that for official?
We got a letter office saying that we were not eligible for non-for-profit status. So they had to change our bulk mailing rate.
Judy, just to go back to the senior center, they had a tax exempt ID number that expired.
Yeah.
And not compliant with IRS code for tax exempt. So what we need to do to be compliant with a 501c3 is either put them as part of the city and they would remain a department of the city until such time as they can reapply for tax exempt status, or the board at the senior center can make a decision to go back, reapply, pay all penalties, back costs, and back filings for the last 5 or 6 years. Just from an objective perspective, we think it's best they remain part of the city until such time they're able to restore credibility and become eligible for tax exempt filing without any issue with past due fines and penalties. So that we're going to have to either put them on our city meter as an account, or we're going to keep it the way it is, and they pay a little bit of a premium.
Okay. So postage is definitely one hit. Is that? I don't imagine there's a lot of hits.
It's not compared what they would pay if they backfiled for penalties and prior year filings. It's a win.
Okay. How about the? Let's see what else we got then. So we've got our office expenses went way up. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't know, because I don't have office expenses at $8,500, so I'm not really sure.
So is this a mistake?
It might be a mistake, yeah.
Hmm.
I'm not sure, because I have it as...
That would be a good thing.
Office supplies, $8,500 is what you gave me. 2021 proposed.
But I think, remember, I said
US
to you, I
Bank,
think that was...
Copy or lease, U.S. Bank Finance, $6,400. Office supplies, $2,100. Total $8,500.
Yeah, I have $2,100 on here.
Okay,
yeah, but
you just
got the copy or lease for U.S. Bank you had on your report you sent me for $6,400.
which I think was when we were switching stuff around and I redid the budget, it might have got just transposed because I think that was like water or something. Not that I'm looking at it.
Not copy. Okay, we could tweak that, Judy.
So what's your budget? 21?
But you know what? I'm looking at the 8,500. You know what it is? You're right, Keith. I apologize. The 8,500 is because we moved the copier lease and everything from put that under office supplies. The copier lease was not under office supplies. I changed the copier lease and put it under office supplies.
Okay.
Where was it then? Wherever it was, it should have gone down then by $6,000.
I don't know. I couldn't find where it was actually, but it was coming out of building operations or something. So we're trying to change our copier and get a new color copier, which would be more cost effective for us because we have a old inkjet printer at this point in time that it's like $300 a cartridge to replace the cartridges. So when talking to the leasing company for U.S. Bank Finance, who we get our copier through, they said it would be more cost effective, and he worked the numbers. But it also takes our lease now. You know, it would go down once our lease runs out. But right now, so that's why that number went up to 8,500. I apologize because we put that and regular office supplies together.
So where was it then?
I think it was under building operations before.
Building operations, you brought up almost $8,000. So you've got office expenses going up $5,600 and you've got building operations going up $7,900 and instructors is something different. So between office expenses and building operations, you're going up $13,500.
So basically what I did was I started out with a zero sum budget and I took all the hard costs of all the bills that we've had since we've been here and I added them together to get a total of what we've been using this year and applied it to next year's budget.
Hmm. What you did,
so that's what I did, all of the bills under building operations, basically everything. So the office supplies, I just thought that at the beginning, the copier was being taken out of contracts, but that had to be stopped when I first came. So I wasn't, it was, then we just moved it to building operations.
So can I zero out contracts then?
Well, no,
you still got $4,500 in contracts.
She has the, in there, I think is the elevator contract, isn't that right, Christine?
Say that again, Keith.
I think elevators are still in there, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and that's 30 of the 4,200 or the 4,500, Judy, that's like 3,600.
Is for elevator?
Yeah.
So we can take out some there then?
Well, I would ask that we let Christine go back and see what other contracts are in there. Because that was hard. In fairness, what she did was she said, okay, forget what the previous budget was. What do I need to operate this building and this operation? That's why these numbers, they're not an apple-to-apple comparison because some things, A, were in the wrong object code and function code, but B, they were short some money in certain line items. So she kind of pulled the roulette wheel and kind of recalibrated everything. So I know for sure in the contracts is the elevator contract, and we just got to see what other contracts are in there.
I mean, that's great because we like the zero balance, but we're always hoping that if you add up what you did, it doesn't come out $20,000 more. Based on his history, because this is a lot more than you guys normally have in any of these items. So it's an extra hit for us at $20,000. That's not mentioning the it's $13,000. And we still have to look at instructors and the driver. So it's just a really bad year to be increased. So maybe you could look at that. Maybe we could see a little bit more detail then on that. Like, what exactly is in this one? What's in that one?
On the elevators, don't we have a annual maintenance?
We do.
What he's saying, he said that's 3,600 of the line, of this line here.
I just remember a couple of years ago, there was water in the basement, and then there was an emergency, and then the following year, there was something else.
The problem you have with that, the elevator to really repair that elevator is about $70,000 because there's a single shaft, Sam, and the single shaft is into the bottom of the pit, and there is water that's been hitting that pit for 20, 30 years. So the elevator company has said, look, you should really do a dual shaft elevator. And there's about a $70,000 upgrade for that. But what we were able to do, not we, to be very clear, Pam grabbed this bull by the horns and she went after the elevator companies and negotiated, you know, best and final maintenance contracts. And she cut half of the annual cost out by going with a different vendor. So Pam really did a great job on that. We still have to deal with the fact that this single shaft has been sitting in a pit of water for 30 years. So the maintenance contract in that 4,500 is approximately 250, 275 a month for 12 months. So that is the maintenance contract in there, Sam.
Okay. No, that's understandable. I'm mostly interested, and I want to know why we've got so much more office expenses. Is that just a copier? So it must be new because I don't see it in any other line that it came out of. And then on the building operations, why are we taking an $18,000 hit? We just need to kind of know why it would go up that much. I understand the driver in the van. I don't know if that's going to work out to be the cheapest, but I totally understand. It seems like worth trying it out, and you already had the van, so there you go. How about on the instructors, Christine?
The instructors, I did the same thing, Judy. I started out with a zero-sum budget. I took all the hard costs of what they get paid weekly, and I added it up, and that's the sum that it comes to. So that's what I put it in for. So, you know, based on
that's $12,000 more though than you spent this year. So did we not pay some of them? It's just the numbers aren't adding up. I understand your process, and that's a process to do, especially being new, but it should add up a little better.
Well, we're going to come to you in June because they're going to be out of money in certain accounts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one of them, that's not so much, and this is the problem. I hate using Corona but take instructors. They've shut down operations for the last 3 months, Christine, is that correct?
Since mid-March. So they were billed 2 weeks in March and they haven't been billed since we closed down on the 12th. So the last 2 weeks of March,
so they're
going forward.
They're going to have a positive balance in instructors when we come to you in June, but she's going to need money in some of these other accounts, such as office expense, and I believe she's going to need money in contracts. Now, transportation is skewed because they haven't been doing trips. So we're trying to annualize for you, your meeting in June, Judy, what she needs, but there will be transfers. But unfortunately, the transfers are going to come from lines that have balances, but they only have balances because the operation shut down. So if
I understand that. No, I'm not going, Keith, by the fact that she hasn't spent the money yet. I'm just going by past budgets. These are just higher than we've ever had before. So to me, if you're doing the sum budgeting, if you've been managing with that much and all of a sudden it comes out $20,000 more, actually 30, well, without the driver,
well,
it's like 20,000.
Yeah, take the 25 out and then reduce because of 25.
No, I'm not looking at 25. It didn't go up 25. That's not even in here. It's going up those items in yellow. It's going up 8,000 because of the driver, but I get that. That's new. 1,000 for postage. I get that if we lost our exemption. But it's the other three. That's still $20,000. So why all of a sudden between office expenses, billing operations, and instructors, if you just add up the bills, is it 20,000 more than what they requested like last year and the year before? You see what I'm saying?
I do, ma'am.
Yeah.
Why don't you let Christine and I and Andrew sit back tomorrow, the next day, and come back to you Thursday.
This is 67, and last year it was 45, so that's 22,000 more than you requested, and it's 52, yeah, it's just a lot more than we've had historically. The others I understand. I understand the elevators and I understand this and that. I don't understand why this trio has grown so much. So that That's a problem. Anybody else in the tax board, since we have Christine here? I think she's going to come back, but anything else you want her to look into or you want to question before we let her go?
Yeah, Brian Kulu here. Quick question about that. The printer. Those prices should come down once the initial cost of the printers have equalized, correct? For the upcoming years?
Say that. I'm not understanding.
You're breaking up.
Yeah.
Is that Brian?
Yes.
You're breaking Brian, up, pal. Just do it slow because you're breaking up. I'm sorry.
Okay. The printer is the increase this year, correct? Or so
we have an existing contract with the copy for the copier. It's not a color copier. There's also an inkjet printer here. When I just quoted the price for the cartridges, they're roughly between $250 and $300 a piece for each single cartridge, which is, I believe, five. So when I looked into pricing, it's more cost effective to get a colored copier because it's roughly 8 to 10 cents per copy than it is to keep buying the cartridges for the colored inkjet printer. But because we already have a contract, they have to roll that into the contract. And then once the contract is up, the price will drop again.
Right, that was my...
But it'll go up initially, we'll go back down.
Yeah, I think that's what you're saying, right, Brian?
Yes, correct. Thank you.
Sorry, Brian, I'm sorry.
The offset, correct. Thank you very much.
Anybody
else? I just think I need to double check the number that he quoted me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how he explained it to me because we're already in a contract. So therefore they need to roll the new number into that. And then once the contract expires, the number will go back down. But for a brief period of time, it's going to go up initially. But overall, it's definitely more cost effective to do this than it is to buy the cartridges for the inkjet printer.
But that's why we're questioning it because we're going up $20,000. So that doesn't feel very cost effective.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
It feels really because I understand
to me
the
when
principle.
I'm like, wait a second.
Make a copy. Yeah. So we just need
because to. Because I'm trying to pull up his, but I'm having trouble with my new computer.
Right. Anybody else have questions for Christine?
Are the salaries correct?
Here's the issue with the salaries. I'm sure someone just texted to chime in on that. So that's great. I'll be happy to explain that. So the executive director is correct of the current. The assistant executive director is wrong. And someone just texted me the same thing. So that should be that 38. It appears the board did not make the transfer to move the membership coordinator up to the assistant executive director. So I have to come back to you, Sam, to make the transfer in the current year so that the proposed and the current year are apples to apples. Right now, I kept it this way intentionally, and I shared that with somebody, that it was left this way separately so you could see the comparison. But it does not appear the general ledger changed the 4913 up to the 3289 because that position of the assistant gets 45. That does not include the general wage increase for next year as any appointed non-union person, that money goes in the special working balance. So that is correct. I was going to address that, but someone beat me to it.
Good. So the sum, it looks like, is pretty, it doesn't look like there's much change. So it's just a matter of moving stuff.
Changes are where you highlighted, ma'am. And the only thing that's going to happen at 38, the 4,000 is going to move up because it's not, even though it's an annualized 45,000, she was not hired in July 1. So you're not going to need all 45,000 for the first year because I think she was hired in September.
No, that's cool. Okay, we all sat there on Senior Center, guys?
So then I just need to get back to you about, or get back to Keith about the office expenses.
Keith can tell us about it at the next meeting, or you want to come back, however it works, but I just need to know about those three lines, the office expense, building operation, and instructors, why it's so much more.
Okay.
That's all I need. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So anything else? Any other bees in your bonnet there, Keith? If not, I will run through this real quick.
You can go at it, ma'am, and then anything that comes up, I'll mention it as if you get to it.
All right, let me get
the
talk.
Oh, wait, just one, can I, there's one. Gary Parker, the rescue truck, which is a large capital expense that's coming either this year or next year, he'll address that, and we're trying to figure out chicken and the egg here. He will address that with the Capital Planning Commission, because he and the fire department, of which Storms has a member on the committee, have been looking at all of the capital expenditures and vehicle expenditures and putting together a long-term plan. Ideally, he would come to the Capital Planning Commission with that in June. I talked to him today. He's like, do you do the tax board first or the capital planning first? He's gonna recommend he rolls it out to the Capital Planning Commission, but it will come back to you because eventually we have to make an appropriation out of the 293 you make for capital, or if it's in year two, advise you with the capital plan. So that is an important item. It's a major capital improvement. It's a major vehicle in the city, but his committee will come back and go to capital planning first in June and then come to the tax board in June to roll out whatever plan they're going to roll out.
Okay.
Is that fair, Brian?
Yes, it seems like that was the plan, so we should be good with that.
Okay, just want to make sure everyone's on board.
All right, is the tax board there? Everybody got your seatbelts on? See, they've all gone to sleep. I'm pretty sure. Nobody's there. I'm talking to myself here. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Judy.
Still here. Still here.
All right, they're here. Okay. So do you guys want to go look at the mill rate carnage first, or do you want to start through appropriations first? What do you want to do? Let's go to the mill rate first. That's always my favorite.
Mill rate.
I'll get everybody woke up. All right. A grand list. Last year was at 723,133,500. It is now at 737,824,703. So it's gone up a bit. Although there are concerns because of the COVID. Will people be closing or this or that? So, you know, it feels softer than it normally does. All right. Last year, our mill rate was at, had gone up to 41.87 mills from whatever the previous. It went up 2.5 mills, okay? So we landed at 41.87 last year. Oh, the increase was 2.5. We used a 99% recovery rate, and if you look at revenue, that's showing pretty true. We're at 99% already. So that at least worked last year. If we take our new grant list at our current mill rate and our same recovery rate, which again, we have to think about, it could be worse this year given everything that's happened, that would give us property revenue of 29,974. We have non-taxable revenue of 14,562, gives us a total revenue of, well, this was last year, gives us a total revenue of 44,537,279. This year, now we're doing the new one, I apologize. So given the new grand list, same mill rate, same recovery rate, would give us property tax 30,583. So we're up a little bit, like half a million. The non-taxable goes up to 15,684. There are some pass-throughs there, so it's not like a lot of exciting money. Gives us our total revenue 46,267, which is, like I said, there's a big WPCA bond in there, for example, but it's a pass-through. Appropriations that they have requested that are right now, we finally have them all in, are 49,038,690. Which gives us a shortfall of $2,770,000. If we wanted to not cut anybody, if we didn't cut anybody to cover that difference, we would have to raise our mill rate by 3.795, which would not be good. So That's where we stand as we start. So we're looking, where can we decrease, okay? Where did I do this or? Good. So let's go over the appropriations. I have, and this is the same, important to note, this is the same thing that got mailed to you. I've just put mine online, and I have combined the amount spent with the other one. We could see them all on one screen. Other than that, I have made no changes. This is the budget that you guys were delivered, I guess, yesterday, today?
Emailed Friday or Sunday. It was emailed and then delivered to three people yesterday.
Okay. Now, we've already made a couple changes tonight because I think there was an error here or there. So that's now on here. And we may think of some cuts tonight we want to play with. And so that will all go back to Keith at the end of the evening. And he will then update his part. Now, and you got to decide, Keith, do every time you update, are you going to have just a new copy for an attachment?
I'm going to update for the next week the tax board first column. So we'll do that tonight and tomorrow, and then I'll send the new one out tomorrow or tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
That first column where it says boat, that'll be there for the next week. We'll just keep changing that column tonight and tomorrow.
Okay. That's mine is called cuts.
Okay. Yeah, on the report it says boat, first round, second round, third round. So we're going into the first round of the boat, and that'll stay there until we close that one. So it'll probably be there for another week.
Right. Okay. But the point is you will redo it. You will submit a new copy for the meeting.
Absolutely.
Purposes. But everyone else, like we said, they already have a hard copy. They can look and see what the changes are, and then they can update their written copies themselves, correct?
And I will get a new copy out to everyone tomorrow night.
Cool. Even better. Alrighty. The mayor's office. Okay, so here's your 2017-18 budget, your 2018-19, your 2019-20, in other words, last year. This is how much they've spent so far as of June 1st, so it means in the first 11 months of the fiscal year. They would have this percentage left. And of course, we always have to bear in mind that some bills may not be paid yet, because that was just yesterday. So this is what they're asking. This is the proposals. This is how much the proposals vary from last year. And this is the actual change that represents. Okay? So in the mayor's office, there's really nothing too noticeable. They're at a 0.5% raise. It's $1,000. It's the normal salaries. I'm very confused about the mayor's though, Keith, because I know his is supposed to go up automatically 5 each year, and it just looks like it's all over the place. So what do you know?
Yes, it does go up to the 50. But what happened was remember they had that extra week in there? So we have to back that out. So what we're going to do is it's going to go to 50. Any deltas will go in the working balance if he gets reelected.
Okay. So this should have been 45 then, wouldn't it? Here?
That's what you adopted as the amended. So I could check as to what drove that, but it should have been 50 that year.
Yeah, because that was supposed to be like 45, 50, 55. All right. I was just curious about that. It's not a big deal. Obviously, if you have any questions as we go on, stop me. The probate, same old, although I see we haven't, I guess they get their money at the end of the year.
Yeah, he just put the bill in like yesterday.
Okay. Finance committee, I think that goes out, what, every quarter or twice a year?
Yes.
Okay.
Twice a year.
And there's no raise there. Town clerk, we have that... the infamous clerk that never gets hired, but we have money for them person?
Correct. Right now in the 1920, it's sitting in a special working balance.
Yep.
I put it in the 2021 just so we have it on the radar. We could either move it back up to the special working balance for 2021, which I would recommend we do. But then it comes out of here and it's comparable between special working and special working. I just did this here to start it, so we all know it's going to move to special working balance.
The other thing would be this thing Why do I have this?
This is funky. Here's what's funky about this. We should put it, this is my, I put it 6,000 in 2021. We could put the dollar and put the dollar on the other side, and then it's a wash when it comes in. We just raise revenue, raise expenses.
Okay.
So if you see that 50, yeah, you see that? Just make that the dollar, and we'll be fine.
Right here?
Yeah.
So we got to make it a dollar?
This way he doesn't get whacked with it in his budget.
Okay, wait a minute. I don't want to do that, though, because now I'm not going to know where we can change this. Hold on. So I'm going to put 6,000. Well, actually, no, I can't. Okay. So that's the town clerk. Everything else is flat.
Yes, ma'am.
Not totally flat, but it all works out. Kind of moves around, so the net is flat. Register of voters actually went down $550.
And that has the primary in it. If you see there in the primary, we put it in.
There's anybody left. Anyway. Legal, same old. They just stayed flat.
Yes, ma'am.
Labor council, litigation. Looks like they used about half of it so far. I don't know what the billing situation would be on that.
First of all, a new firm took over, same players, and there was a timing issue on some of the coronavirus type items, and there's a couple of workers' comp items that are laggering, so that's going to catch up very quickly. Okay. I don't think it's going to be 100% expended, ma'am, but we'll know more in 2 weeks.
Okay, how about on the labor council?
There might be one or two bills in some labor issues we faced last month, but we're not going to use 100% of that.
Okay, and the fact that they're giving us the same budget, I would say that they're pretty fine, right?
Yeah, if they don't use it, it drops down.
Keith, I have a question on that. Do we have two law firms now working for the city, or do we have one?
No, one law firm. It's the same partners. They just broke away from Cohen & Wolf, and they started their own firm. So it is one firm, Chris. But what happens is you have timing issues of some work that was done under Cohen & Wolf and some of the new firm. So we're working through those now. And that happened, I believe, in April. It might have been March or April. Of course, right when everything else was chaotic.
Right.
It's one firm, Chris. Definitely one firm.
But they split into two firms, but we're still only paying one firm, I'm assuming?
It went from one firm to a new firm.
Oh, I see.
So there's some billings from the old firm for work done in March.
Okay.
April. The new firm picked up April going forward. So we're just trying to close out the old firm's bills, but it's still one firm, one old firm, one new firm.
Understand. Thank you.
Okay.
Alrighty. IT.
I owe you the service agreement. She's going to get that to me for Thursday, and the maintenance contract.
Okay, and that went up then. Maintenance went up $2,200.
Yeah, that percentage is deceiving, though. But yes.
And service went up $5,000. Okay, yeah, you were going to share with us some of that stuff.
In short, we're getting away from the 1980s AS400. We're one of two towns in the state of Connecticut that still use it. And we're going to go to cloud-based, which will give us more software programs. The primary one is going to be time management, where people are going to be able to log in and it'll go right to payroll, versus now we're writing out timesheets and licking envelopes and slipping under the door from Marie to open up and enter.
Yep, fun. All right. So I didn't mark that because that's what that's all about. For the treasurer, stuff has gone away because they've moved things over to finance that made more sense over there. Such as the bookkeeping service, the courier services, and financial services.
Yes, ma'am.
Tax refunds.
That's staying there. That's theoretically a zero-sum account. What happens is Denise goes once a month to the Board of Aldermen. If someone has a refund, they overpaid on motor vehicle, they overpaid on real estate. The Board of Aldermen approves the refund list. Then what happens is she cuts a check for it. So what happens is the check comes out of this line item to go to the employees, okay? And it's a timing issue. Then that entry gets reversed because she already took the credit on the grand list. So you'll see it's a negative number, but once last month's entries get posted, it reverses itself back out. It really is just a place for us to cut checks to those who overpaid their taxes. It's been like this for 20 years. Okay. But that account gets zeroed out at the end of the year.
Okay. And we've got the insurance. Stayed pretty much. The liability went up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Used up most of it.
Yeah, we've had a couple. Now I'm going to come back to you in the next meeting. The liability is going to need more money because apparently there's not four quarters budgeted in there. There's only three. So we have to, what happens is we seems one of the quarters was paid out of workers' comp. So next meeting, I'm going to lay out to you where you have to make a transfer and we have to make an appropriation to fund the last quarter. So that's the right number, 460 is the right number. But it appears some other items got paid out of the workers' comp that should have come out of, or some of the items got paid out of liability should have come out of workers' comp. So I'm going to reverse those next meeting. But that 460 is the straight premium for next year for liability.
That's firm. Okay. Then the firemen went down.
Yep, because it was overfunded. Because remember, it was a renewal rate. That's a hard number right from the carrier.
Okay. And we're not using the, doing the auto deductible right now. So is that deductible for autos or is that an automatic deductible?
Well, that's, we have money in there if we have to pay the deductible on an accident or something.
Okay, so it's for autos. It's car deductible. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just thinking, did auto mean
not
auto?
Automatic deductible. Auto car deductible.
Could you have an automatic auto deductible? I guess you could.
You could have an automatic auto deductible, yes. I don't have enough characters in the field, but we could do AU deductible.
Could work it out. Yeah. Retirement. Oh, it hurts. Okay. So that's the same.
Yep.
And when do we do the city pension? Is that just hasn't gone over yet?
That we haven't gone over yet, but if you remember, we agreed in the 8-point plan to keep it flat for 2 years at the 190, and then we're going to catch up with that in year three. So that 190 is year two of the 2-year 8-point plan.
All right. So now all these employee benefits. Our employees have a lot of benefits. They're very benefited. That's gone up $250,000 from... Now, this is the thing the guy came to talk to us about. So nowhere in here are we adding to our reserve. This is just
what we're covering,
right?
Correct. If you go to the health insurance city appropriation, 270-270, right? What we did there was we did the straight city, which is that line item. And we did the straight Board of Ed, which is the last line item. We took the straight proposal, fully insured equivalent for medical and dental. Those are the two numbers he presented, and we put them in. Now, we're not fully insured, but this is the fully insured equivalent. So what happens here is if we funded at the fully insured equivalent, that's our cap of our liability. The only way in this model that we're building up reserves is if claims come in less than what their actuarials project is the fully insured equivalent. So they have what they say, hey, if you want to fully insure yourself, this is the amount of money you put in. If your claims come in less than this because you're self-insured, anything that's left over will drop to the reserve fund. Now, I left that there with the understanding that as we weed through the budget, if we get to the end and it's just not sustainable or affordable, we may take that option to go into this year with funding it the fully insured equivalent, hoping claims come in less and that becomes a reserve. If we opt to say, or you opt to say, listen, we want to put $300,000 in, then we're going to split it between city, prorated between city and the Board of Ed allocation. Right now, this is right off of Larry's sheet of if you were fully insured equivalent, this is what the premium would be.
Okay. All righty. So now we've got the, maybe, oh, come on. Finance.
He's crazy.
This is way too much, Keith. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's crazy. Cut him.
Much.
So what I did here was the first three lines are just the same year to year.
Mm-hmm.
The part-time human resource director is an item that the city is saying, look, we need to start thinking about. And we're not hiring a person, we're not putting them on our payroll with medical, but we're looking for a part-time kind of 1099 employee that would handle a lot of the HR functions, which we do not have a funnel where there's a single point of operations on this. So what happens now is HR could be dealt with anyone. Mark could deal with it in his office to a degree, then Andrew, then me. So what we're trying to say here is we have exposure here in that we don't have conformity and uniformity between how we're handling things. And the HR role would be something that takes care of in-house processing upon hires, exiting processing, making sure we're compliant with all the sexual assault, sexual harassment training. Things that right now, because we don't have a person in that position, we are managing it by whacking moles, meaning, oh, geez, this just came in, we have to do this. Okay, everyone go get it done with your staff. Now, in this line item, why we're asking just for an appropriation is maybe there's an opportunity here for consolidation with the Board of Ed, who has a human resource director, who have more employees in this city, who have more internal operations and controls, that we can mirror them or maybe say, hey, look, can we supplement your person and they could help? That's a discussion. I just want to be transparent. There's been no more than a conceptual idea about that. But we have to start to find the efficiencies, folks, and that's one where we can maybe do that and we take care of an exposure here. We have exposure because we don't have an HR director and we're not totally up to date on HR rules and regulations and laws. We have a law firm that gives us some HR guidance and they do very well at it, but their billable hours are much more than if we had somebody that we're bringing in part-time and putting on as a 1099 employee. Andrew's dealing with personnel. You know, I'm dealing with it. That's not where it should be. So I would ask, and Andrew, if he wants to chime in, he's free to, I would ask that this be an item that's seriously considered because it is an exposure we have. It is a material weakness we have. But we're not asking to hire someone at 80 or 90,000 plus benefits. If we find efficiencies with merging with the Board of Ed, great. We're just saying let's park this money, there has to be a special working balance, and we can continue the discussion with the Board of Aldermen and the city and the Board of Ed going forward. So if Andrew's around, I would ask that he be offered the opportunity to comment on that.
Yes, I am on, and I also see that Alderman Sampson is on. He's kind of been beating this drum for almost 2 years now. You know, we're inefficient in an HR perspective, and it takes a lot of our time and energy that really could be better served on things that will help us keep this budget down moving forward. The amount of petty any stuff that we have to deal with on a day to day, really, it's all consuming some days that we're dealing with HR stuff, especially now with COVID. You know, we have a situation where we're taking everybody's temperatures now and we're logging that and we're doing kind of medical exams, if you will, as we're allowed to under the current, you know, crisis. And again, we've spent countless hours over the last 3 weeks making sure that that's right and that we're you know, folding that in with the union representation, and we're making sure that we're dotting all our I's and crossing all our T's. And to Keith's point, that also takes hours of our labor attorney's time because we really don't have an HR point person that is classically trained in just doing that. So it's I think we do an okay job with our patchwork effort that we make, and God, we haven't had any crazy claims over the last 2 years with kind of this group effort of handling it, but I think it's time to take it off the plate of both the finance director, certainly myself, and the mayor for that matter, who a lot of times has to jump into some of these personnel matters, and have it be a point person that we can say, you know, that's that office down the hall, you know. And I don't know if Charlie, if Judy, if you want to recognize Charlie, if he has wants to opine on this, because he really has championed this on the Board of Aldermen side of things over the last couple of years.
And you want to make a comment, Charlie? Sampson with a P.
Yeah, I'm not going to say much more except for yes, I have been bringing this up on a year-to-year basis. An HR person has the training and knows how to deal with people that, you know, quite frankly, we wouldn't ask Andrew, Keith, or Mark to. And unfortunately, these guys are kind of thrown into the mix. And they're I don't want to say they're grasping at straws. They do their job great and they're dealing with this HR, but we need somebody who's specifically trained for this position, somebody that hires people, guides the people, This town's got to get out of the 1900s. We have, this is the 20th, you know, 2020. We need to start putting people in positions to make this town run more efficient. You know, look at the work that Keith is doing in the finance office, the work that Drew is doing, and Mark, everybody's got their hands in everything, but they're making things function better. Adding this position is a must, in my opinion, and I'll keep championing this on the Board of Aldermen side as this goes along. If we can't do it this year, I'll be pushing for it again next year. And there's other positions I see throughout the city. And like I said, Keith's got a great idea. The school board has resources. Why don't we tap into them? They have a building maintenance person. Why does the city tap into it? A position we've never had, HR director, they have one. Why don't we tap into that? We need to start combining resources and making things work smoothly. And I thank you for giving me the time to speak.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. As I recall, unfortunately, we tried to get a finance thing going between member sharing with the schools for many years. And they resisted pretty much. So there was a resistance to that on one side. Are there any flavors of part-time HR director? Would there be possible to start them? This would be probably a 20 hour a week that you're thinking here?
Here's the issue. My pause to answer that is this. You could put a retainer on a third party if we don't partner with the Board of Ed or we don't use an internal. It would be somewhat cyclical, right? And what I mean by that is there may be some startup where there's training that is required for us to make us compliant. So there might be some more expenses in the get going, in the starting, than on a normal basis. And then you have third parties where they'll do it per employee, they'll do it per head. So we would investigate that, but let's just say we had to become compliant on four or five things. They may spend a lot of time in the first 3 or 4 months. And then as we hire people or there's a maintenance part of HR, the spending may go down, but become level loaded, meaning become flat per month. So what I've learned is a company would come in or an individual and say, okay, where are you? Are you compliant with A, B, C, and D in federal law, A, B, C, and D in state law? Okay, if you're not, here's what we need to do that. Here's the estimated cost for that. So it won't be a level loaded monthly, Judy, like a retainer, until we get caught up. Once we get caught up, then they could give you a level loaded price going forward.
It's going to be kind of like Anchor, then there's going to be mapping.
No, it's not going to be like Anchor. I can assure you that.
No, a little bit. Okay. You got to hope we did better with our employee requirements than we did with our pipes.
It's a little more cut and dry in this because it's really, what have you done? What do you need to do per employee? And then there's ongoing training, sexual harassment, safety in the workplace, things that are boilerplate programs that a good company or individual is going to have a model for that. This price was based on what we believe would get us in year one caught up and compliant.
I get that, yeah. My daughter is like an into HR, so I hear a lot about this.
Can I just add one thing? Yeah. What I often think about is the potential exposure, the return on investment. And what I mean by that is one major or minor screw up in the way we handle a workplace violence issue or a conflict in the workplace or sexual assault issue, the exposure to the city is 10 times this. And I'm not being dramatic. We have a settlement we're going to be talking to you about in the next board meeting. It's $250,000. Now insurance carried it and they'll cover it, but these are things where we'll get our money back multiple times if we can avoid any or minimize any exposure we as a city have because it's a process issue. I can't stand anything when we pay out because we didn't do a process correctly. And if you have an HR person or a director who understands process and is more in tune with the law requirements of the law, you dramatically, exponentially reduce that exposure. So the ROI on this is tremendous in a cost avoidance perspective.
Yeah, plus just I think we're just wasting money having like Andrew take temperatures. We want Drew and Carmen and the mayor to be going after that economic development.
True. Meeting those
34 people up, not taking temperatures.
The only question I have is about a month or two ago, correct me if I'm wrong, Charlie, but the alderman voted on a temporary halt on any hiring. So I'm a little apprehensive of having them, not only in the Board of Ed. I was going to talk to you guys about it at another time, but I might as well just bring it up now. The Board of Ed was bringing on some new people. And I know that we don't have control of the Board of Ed, but we do prior to allocating the money to them and before we approve their budget. And I'm okay with their, but I understand everything that, that the Board of Ed said and the reason why it went up, the percentage that it went. But for them to increase at 5.6% with them allocating new positions, I think it was Tom D'Onofrio who mentioned it at the Alderman's meeting that, you know, I think it would be careless of us to start bringing in employees and hiring people when we have an unemployment rate that's through the roof right now. So, and specifically, I spoke personally on behalf of the police department as the commissioner, and I believe that he talked afterwards that we have somebody retiring in the fall. We didn't wanted to make sure that we were going to be able to replace and just allocate that spot that wasn't necessarily higher, as, just to keep the same staffing that we had. This is a new position.
We're not going to hire a HR director.
But
this would be a contracted services, Sam. So it kind of falls into a separate bucket. It wouldn't be someone hired with benefits and contract obligations where if we decide, you know, we want to reduce them, there would be unemployment or not. This would be a 1099 position where they would we would pay them directly as a non-employee.
So we're still paying them more. We're still paying out $40,000. We're still hiring. You can say it how you want to. We're creating a position, hiring something that wasn't there previous. Against the Board of Aldermen 2 months ago, recommendation to cease any hirings for the foreseeable future during the COVID.
That's not hiring, Sam. A consultant is not hiring. It's using a new service.
Judy, Charlie Sampson, if I could.
Yeah.
So yes, Sam is correct that we did put a freeze on hiring new employees. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we. And the same thing with the bookkeeper, that the money is funded in here, but a bookkeeper hasn't been contracted yet. We could, if you allocate the funding for it, that doesn't necessarily mean that the person will be contracted for it. But the other caveat to that vote that we took was that they could come back to the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen on a case-by-case basis, as was explained to the police commissioners and the chief.
Yep.
And we will address it at the time of the case by case basis until the hiring freeze is no longer in effect.
To me, this doesn't constitute a hiring because we have a hiring freeze because if this were hired, it wouldn't be 40, it would be 80,000 because you'd be adding the employee benefits, the retirement, and on and on.
But it's part-time because we just say 20 hours?
Yes, we're talking part-time contract. It's like a consultant.
Right. Well, it would be $80,000 if it was a 40-hour work week. It's 20. So it's all substantial. I mean, we're all talking. It's relative here. Give me 20 hours of work week, I'm getting $40,000. You give me.
No, I'm saying for 80, it would cost us $80,000 to get a part-timer, Sam, if it were an employee. If we hire a consultant full-time, it's going to be 80. If we hire a new employee full-time, it's 160. It's always twice as much for an employee over a consultant. Instead, unless you just go nuts like some people I won't mention that did that. But to me, this is no different than a copier. I mean, this is my opinion. You need to make copies, you get a copier, you know? You need to organize your HR. You bring in a person that knows HR and you have them give you a report.
The other thing, Sam, is you could leave it and park it in special work amounts so the alderman vet out hiring, not hiring, start dates, all that stuff. But at least we have it in the budget versus they approve it and there's no money. You know what I mean, Sam?
Yep.
But, and the bookkeeper is part of our promise to get out to.
But here's the thing.
The problem that we had with the fund balance, that Keith, we have to have more bookkeeping on hand. We made that commitment way back.
Go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. We've had this problem in the past where they, and this is the reason why under this new administration, we have put the tax board in front of or behind the alderman, right? So they approve something and then we appropriate.
No, we haven't been doing that.
I don't want to allocate money without the alderman approving something. Because we got into this back and forth match, right? Where they would come to us because our meeting was before and they were like, well, we have to get it approved by the alderman first. And
I can see on a monthly basis, Sam, when you're adopting a budget, if you don't
want us to allocate the money for something that wasn't already approved.
Yeah. But they haven't been doing it. I think the Board of Aldermen have been very good in this respect since we went over that.
Since this new administration, yes, we have. And, we've curved that by changing the dates of these meetings. And now for us to put this in the budget without their approval prior.
Here's the difference with starting a new year, Sam, is the philosophical discussion and debate has to go through two boards. If you don't put it in and they approve it, how in July or August do we find $40,000, right? Versus you look at it from the other lens is, if you put it in special working amounts, once they approve it, you drop it down. It's there. Because here's the chicken and the egg debate. When they decide, if you don't put it in and they start talking about it and they say, well, wait a second, it wasn't taxed for, we don't have the money for it. If that becomes something that someone says, well, I'm not approving because there's no money. Well, there's no money because they didn't approve it. And they didn't approve it because there's no money. You know what I'm saying, Sam? Where if you at least park it in special working amounts, if they don't approve it, it's just going to sit there and drop to the front amounts like anything else you park.
Well,
there.
Then we're going to put the HR and the bookkeeper in the special working balance.
Well, the bookkeeper is different. The bookkeeper has been approved, and we're going forward hiring someone in the next 30 days. And that was in this year's budget. So
yeah, that was part of the 8-point plan, right?
Yeah. So that's already been approved in this year's budget. And then the alderman, we're going to present someone to the alderman in the next 30 days.
Yeah. But then what's our limit going to be? Are we going to take this to the alderman? And I'm not against that, but are we going to take this part-time HR director consultant to the alderman because it's an expense over a certain amount or because there's a person involved?
I believe, don't correct me if I'm wrong, Drew, it's because it's going to be a contract with an individual and the alderman and the mayor do the contract. It's my understanding.
Okay, so I can see that.
Am I wrong?
That's correct. Any contract would have to be approved by the Board of Aldermen.
Right, and
if
no
contract, another police dog, we would have to do the same thing. If
no
it
contract has been approved by the Board of Aldermen yet, correct?
Correct. And I think again, chicken or the egg. This is part of the problem with our city having two boards that don't necessarily communicate all the time, and then why some places have a legislative body that has a finance arm. You make that decision, the whole group votes on it. So I think we have to somehow figure out a way to get better at this in our city. You know, frankly, it's always chicken or the egg, as Keith said.
The city set us up for whatever reason. The charter was set up that way.
By the Board of Aldermen, and going through that process, you're still confident you're going to have a bookkeeper in the next 30 days.
They asked for it this past week. They said, "Where's the bookkeeper?" So
yeah, that's already been approved, Sammy, by the Aldermen. They asked for it.
The delay in that is mine, and the delay in that is that we haven't even had our staff in the office for 6 weeks. We weren't going to bring a third-party outside source into the building and into the mix. So the world took a change that we didn't anticipate, and that delayed us.
Mask and thermometer. Bring them in.
Well, Drew's got to shoot a temperature. He's getting his dog right now.
Chris has got his cat. I think Chris's cat's cuter than Pebbles, Drew. Did you see his cat?
Oh, whoa. You hit it there.
It's pretty cute. That was a cute cat. So, okay, so we are going to move this. So what is the contract? I forgot. What is the contract limit? If we go over, how much do we have to get the...
It's not required because it's contracted services.
Okay.
So you don't have to, it doesn't follow bidding as if it was a item or a product.
So what's the limit on contracted services? What's
it's
the
not threshold? Like the lawyer was approved without a competitive bid.
Uh-huh. No, I don't think we need bids, but at what?
We're going to first, if it's funded, we're going to first talk with Doc Conway and see if there's a efficient way of sharing services, even to some degree. Then the second thing would be, is there a way to share an outside person? Then it would be, do we need a part-time? So we'd have to peel away the onion to get the best skill set for the price. So we're just saying from a funding standpoint, let's put it in. And there's a lot of dominoes that have to happen in the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. So basically then in the finance department, we have an increase, but it's including that position and the new bookkeeper position and then the things we brought over from the treasurer's department.
Correct,
but
ma'am.
That's basically it, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hey, any more questions on that for finance?
Keith, it's Ray. Have you had any preliminary conversations with Dr. Conway on potentially sharing that HR resource?
Very, like as brief as I just had with you.
Okay.
And, okay. And the reason why, Ray, just for purposes of framing it, so that nobody runs to the cigar store and starts saying like we're doing things behind the scenes, there was no sense proceeding with the conversation and getting into detail unless people were on board with the concept that we need in HR, right? So if the concept's approved, then we're going to say, what can we do and come back to you guys with a model. That's the biggest thing there is we didn't want to pull the trigger prematurely.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
One more question.
Sure.
If you
hold your cat up, Chris. Hold the cat up so Andrew can see it. It's very cute. So look at that. Look at that.
If you were to combine resources with the Derby school system, you would hire someone underneath their person, or it would just be a completely different subcontractor? And how would that work? Would they be underneath the person from the school system?
It could be the person at the school system, right? It could be that we take their person and share them. It could be that it's someone underneath them. It could be someone that if they say no, then we hire our own person that is under just their own insurance and licenses with HR and certifications.
I see. Okay.
Okay. There's a ton of small businesses out there, and I guess we would be considered a small government that are using all these fancy HR services. So there's a lot you can get. I think like you were saying, Andrew, or Keith, one of them was saying, that it's mostly kind of getting things set up first and put together.
Judy, we actually had an HR audit about a year and a half ago, because we recognized there were some deficiencies. We did some of those things internally in that firm. But like anything in this city, you know, you get what you pay for. Sometimes we take lowest bid on things and, you know, you don't get necessarily the optimal level of service that we would need. This is something that kind of needs full-time attention. Even if it's a part-time point person, at least it's a person that's available on a per diem or, you know, available for phone conferences or whatever for our employees. It would be worth its weight in gold. To Keith's point, it's about limiting the exposure moving forward, not just the day-to-day stuff. So
I think we should get a gal like on Billions, and then she'd give you guys like pep talks.
Okay.
Motivation. All right, no more finance questions for now? All right, let's look at our payroll taxes. They are up quite a bit on Social Security.
The big one is unemployment, and that's just I'm taking the actuals from this past year. It may not be the same next year, but I put in just a figure that we had from this year so that if we do have any issues, we're covered. But you could probably reduce that a little bit.
The unemployment one?
Yes, but I, you know, just keeping in mind, if we have exposure, we're gonna need to move money there.
Okay, maybe 3,000 less?
Yeah, you could do that.
How come so much more in Social Security? And if you told us the other day and I wasn't paying attention, I apologize.
Well, Social Security is based upon the general wage increases that we have in it with everybody. So you have all the unions are set next year. This year, when we went into Social Security, the contract wasn't finalized. So that was an estimate. So we did it based on true salaries for next year with the general wage increases.
Okay.
Which isn't a lot on, you know, $500,000. It's only $35,000.
Yeah, so we're going 46 to that. Yeah, you're right. I was looking at the wrong number here, comparing at the wrong number. Tax collector looks pretty, they actually went down a little.
Yeah. Now on that, I guess now's the best time. There's never been time. One of the things that we've learned or that we've seen and witnessed with the coronavirus is what is really where we have efficiencies and where do we have inefficiencies and where can we streamline the operation to learn from the experience we just went through for the 8 or 9 weeks. So we are building a plan or a summary, however you want to call it, that we're going to present to both boards that says, look, here's where we are with manpower, here's where we are with workload, here's where we see some efficiencies. So what we're saying going into this budget is we're leaving it flat with the FTEs and we're leaving it flat with number of personnel and departments. But we will come back to you, and unfortunately it's going to be after that you adopt the budget probably, with potential model changes that will benefit from the efficiencies we learned in the last 8 to 9 weeks. So when you look at this, yes, as a tax collector, yes, as an assistant tax collector, there's no clerk, but we may have some organizational changes that you're going to see efficiencies. But it's the timing of this. So we're leaving this as is, understanding we're going to come back to you in the Alderman with some ideas and concepts that may modify this. But for timing wise, we're saying let's leave it as it is presented.
Okay. Thank you, Keith. Assessor, we've got Betsy. Betsy on the job. She has actually saved us some money with the revals. I can't remember now what she's made some deals for revals, save us quite a bit of money. So there is a little bit of thing just with the normal. Now, are they union? I don't remember.
Yes.
Okay. So that's kind of, so she's actually taking less than the guests. Auxiliary police went up a little bit for equipment. I mean, they never go up, so that's kind of like a good thing. The police budget, I was wondering why the patrolman wages, do they have less patrolmen now? Because it stayed about the same, even though I would imagine they're assuming a bit of a hike. But they're not. It actually went down $1,500. I don't remember asking Jerry about that or seeing it, noticing that.
Madam Chair, if we could just go back. I don't want to speak out of school. Let me go back to Jerry and come back to you by Thursday night. I don't even want to guess. So let me.
No, I was just, I'm just putting it out there.
No, that's fair. I just don't want to misspeak. So I will talk to him tomorrow.
Overall, the police, they went up 1.73% to 67,000. So it's not really significant considering how big their budget is. If we want to dig into that deeper at some point, we could probably get little bits in here or there, but I don't know if it'd be worth it. I still want to know what they're feeding this dog. It's just incredible.
He had a big bust the next day.
I think it's freeze-dried. They're giving him freeze-dried organ meat. That's the stuff. So, you give that to Pebbles, she'd be just jumping over the table. All right. The fire department. I'm assuming anybody has questions, they're just going to yell. Fire department, I think, is pretty flat. Yep, less than 1%. Their service contracts probably needed some adjusting. Education a little more. But they're down another thing, so not really anything to note. We've got the OEM flat. I guess OEM we didn't need for COVID. I mean, COVID didn't affect us much other than we have to wear masks and a lot of us stay home, right?
It's coming because the expenses to adjust the workplace, like plastic shields and counters and whatnot, those expenses are being priced out now. So they're coming around the corner. Don't think they're not, and they're not cheap.
Are they temporary? I mean, I would hope a year from now we don't have to still have all these shields, right? I mean, we don't know, but.
For the shields, like at the counter, they're not paper, and they're not going to be built that they're going to fall down. So they're going to be built like if they're hanging from the tiles and the ceiling down, they're going to be thick enough gauge and whatnot. They could be permanent because we don't know the duration. We know we're going to go into winter with this thing, so they're not being made or designed to be, you know, a couple of weeks in sustainability. They're going to be enough to stay put for a while.
They're fairly permanent. Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. You don't want stuff falling over on people. I think that was further down and somewhere else I saw it, like 50 grand.
Yeah, and that's a pass-through. So here's what we're doing with that. We know that there's going to be expenses, and the Board of Ed got me their expenses last week, which we have to include into the rest of people. We have not. So we put the 50 as a placeholder because we get 75% reimbursement. So what's going to happen, Judy, on the revenue side, we do not have the revenue side posted for the 75% of the 50.
Okay.
So we went to the Board of Ed, Mark Izzo gave me a number, and Andrew's actually very aggressively trying to get to quantify the scope of work and the price. Once we have that in the next week, we're going to put that in the expense side. So it might go to 100, and then we'll put the 75,000 on the revenue side. So that is going to be an offset on the revenue. We just did not add it to the revenue, knowing that 50 is going to go up. We're getting prices in City Hall, 30, 40,000. Board of Ed's got a price of 100 plus thousand. So whatever we put on the expense side, we're going to offset it with 75% on the revenue side, which leaves exposure for your board for 25%.
Okay. Fire Marshal, not much. Oh, he is the one. Remember I told you somebody I saw stuck in a 4%? It was him. Any reason he would want more than everybody else in the world?
I don't know. I will check that tomorrow.
Okay. So, surprise. And that's really almost, yeah, that's most of it because he took off some places. Okay, come on, cursor. Public hydrants. Is that literally they didn't go up or we haven't heard?
We just got the last billings, so when we post them this week, we'll know, but we kept them flat because there's been no, we didn't get a letter of an increase in the per gallons charge.
Okay.
So I left it flat.
Now we've got the miscellaneous capital, would you stop it, computer? I have a touch, never get a Dell touchscreen. Run for the door, screaming at the salesman. No. So we've got the turnout gear, which is the end of the previous contract or supply. And now we've got the 80,000, which it has been approved by the alderman to fund a new batch of turnout gear. So this is all turnout gear, right?
I could get you a list and I should have had that for you tonight. It's turnout gear, a breathing apparatus is part of the gear.
Okay.
And this is, remember, we had a lot of gear that was coming to the end of its OSHA life.
Mm-hmm.
This year is a catch-up year to get us ahead of the curve.
Yep. These are all the same. So general capital will be something. Do you already have people already asked, put in their requests, or?
Okay, let's just go through this number. In the past, what happened, you would approve, let's say, 285. Mm-hmm. And that dollar amount would shift to the Capital Planning Commission, and then they would seek requests from the department heads and come up with a total that equals 285 or close to 285. Plus any LOSIP eligible projects. We were talking the last week or so, the 285, and we're looking at about a half of that is gonna be Corona-based improvements between the Board of Ed and the city. And again, while that's being quantified, we don't have a final number, but we're thinking if you give us, if the appropriation is 285,850, it would then shift to the Capital Planning Commission, of which we would present to them capital requests and put in that the Corona-based request.
But you're seeing 140 in Corona being our 25% share or everything?
I'm sorry, can you repeat
that? You would say we'd get a reimbursement on the Corona stuff.
Right, so let's say the 285, 140, 250 of it is Corona-based.
But what part of the Corona-based, the whole thing or our 25% share?
No, let's just say on dollar to dollar, 285, one, let's say 140, 250 of it is Corona-based items, then we'll drop 75% on the revenue side. But we don't know what the 285 split of that is going to be Corona-based. Okay. Not only Corona-based eligible, right? Some things, you know, the state's going to start cracking down on, I'll give you a scenario. Well, we got laptops because we work from home because we closed for Corona, eligible. Oh, by the way, we want to get a desktop because when the public comes in, we want to put a new desktop by that window we cut out. They may say, Nick, say, you have a desktop where the person's sitting, move that one. So we don't want to over-assume revenue. So I can't, until we see what the items are, Judy, and then we read what the allocation approval is in the executive order, we just want to, we don't know until we know the items.
Because some may be,
some may be Corona-based, but not eligible for reimbursement. But Drew and I were throwing a number around, and between the city and Board of Ed, 285, half of that could easily be Corona-based enhancements.
Okay.
And then, in which case, we would then say to the OK Tax Board, add 75% dollar for dollar for these items on the revenue side.
How about the rest? I mean, have other requests come in? Is it the usual two squad
cars? The usual swipe cars, asbestos tile replacement, asbestos ceiling tile replacement, asbestos tile replacement, police cars. Those are coming. There's no doubt they're coming.
So if we were to cut down a little bit on general capital this year, would that be painful, too painful?
Well, you know you're dropping 70 to 80 for two police cars right out of the gate. So let's take 280, half of it is Corona-based, and you're at 140, and 140 of that, 70 or 80 of that is for police cars. You're down to, you know, we're down to 70, 30, 50, 70 grand for the rest of the city. Mm-hmm. Until we get the request, Judy, I don't want to guess. Okay.
Keith, you said something about ceiling tiles. Are we getting new ceiling tiles for all the buildings? Is that what? I don't want to assume that.
No, asbestos tile. Let's say, for example, the Board of Ed has constantly, annually or semi-annually done asbestos tile replacements in the schools. So right. Part of that capital is going to be asbestos tile replacement.
Okay.
We do have ceiling tile replacement, Chris, that are needed with roof leaks and whatnot. And just from an indoor air quality issue, you know, you have a ceiling tile with a stain or water dripping, that turns to mold. You're now exposing the employees below that ceiling tile to that whatever that tile has. So while you fix roof leaks, there is still some water that penetrates the membrane. When it penetrates, if it's wetting a tile, the key is to stop the leak, right? The theory is always stop the water. But if you stop the water, you still need to replace what water stains are on tiles. So it's not a big item. The bigger item in capital, Chris, has been the Board of Ed replacing asbestos tiles in Irving and Bradley, where there's in the high school, where there's a lot of asbestos. Now, it has to be friable. So if it's greater than 3 feet by 3 feet and it's cracked, then it's an asbestos abatement. If you do it proactively, you still need the abatement and you can't remember in the school, but it's a proactive abatement. But it's best we slowly get these out of the buildings. So the Board of Ed has been very aggressive in an annualized plan for asbestos tile abatement.
All right, thank you.
None of this Corona stuff is going to be LOSIP eligible, right?
Not right now, because you have the Corona eligibility, so we're getting 75% on the dollar.
Okay, that's better.
So just to be clear on where we're going. Is let's say you have an item that is Corona-based driven, plastic shields. That would go into Corona. But if we have a building improvement, like if we're putting a security system in to lock the doors so that people don't come in from a security and a Corona, you know, two different perspectives, that could be LOSIP eligible because it's security.
Yeah.
See how it gets, it could fall into different pots, Judy, where we could get it for public building security enhancement, but it's not Corona. It's because we do want to lock the doors anyway. So depending on the project, it's going to fall in a couple of different buckets, and we're going to maximize the ROI for what we put in.
Okay. And you're sure COVID is the capital, general capital is the very best place to put the Corona, or does it matter?
What we would do, ma'am, is on the general capital, we would come up with general capital and Corona general capital. And the reason I say that is, you know, 18 months, 24 months from now, when the states and the feds come in and say, hey, what'd you spend on Corona? We could go to one line item and take it out, and here it is. That'll give us the invoices and the bills. So we would create a subline on the general capital for Corona capital. This way, you as board members, see exactly what we spent on Corona. Just like we created that Corona expense line of $47,000, anyone could go to that line and say, this ties out with what we did for Corona.
But couldn't, wait, let me see. I want to see something like this. We've got the coronavirus expenses. We've added in another 50.
Those are not capital. Those are like masks and, and wipes and, you know, we had some computers in there because we didn't have it in the capital. But those are going to be more of your operating kind of expenses.
Okay. So the others you do, okay, so you consider they're more capital than expense-like.
Correct. So let's say, for example, we had both lines. The laptops we bought this year would go into the Corona capital.
Okay. All right. I was wondering, since we're going to get, so here's my thinking. Since we're going to get reimbursed probably pretty well, right? If we put our Corona into our capital account, then that is going to cut down the amount available to other departments for capital expenditures.
Correct.
But yet, although it goes in there, then we're going to have revenue come in. So would it maybe better to have just a dedicated kind of Corona line, but to have it maybe somewhere else so that it comes in and we have to do it and we get reimbursed and it doesn't do so much damage to our general capital account?
Thinking out loud, just in response, you're going to have Corona capital, which would be assets of greater than $1,000 with a life longer than 2 years. And then you have Corona operating, which is your disposable mask, gloves, Windex, sanitary wipes, etc. So what I'm thinking, just on initial response to your statement, Judy, is I think we're best to have both. One that's an operating Corona-related expense and one that's a capital expense.
Okay, but we could open another line then in miscellaneous capital for those Corona.
Yes, we can. Absolutely.
So that we're not, I just don't want to take all too much out of the general capital, which is such a, I know always goes, it just doesn't go around very far.
So let's say we did a Corona capital item. The offset would be 75% of that would be put on the revenue side.
All right. And that would keep it separate and it wouldn't interfere with our other departments.
Correct.
Plus then if the tax board wanted to take a little bit out of general capital, we would just be taking a little out and it wouldn't be just cutting everybody off at the knees, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Just a little. A little bit. Okay. So that's that. And then we've got the commissioner. We've gone up quite a bit.
Yeah, there's a shift here that we just want to mention. If you look at maintainer 2 and then you look at maintainer 4.
Yeah, this went down, this went up.
Yeah.
So
a maintainer, one retired, they hired in the other maintainer, so it's a shift.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
So.
And that was the Billy Tiano retirement, and I forget who replaced them.
I'm not sure why the motorized equipment maintenance all of a sudden went down. Maybe just it's in better shape. I don't know.
I think Ed is on.
Oh, are you on, Ed? Depending on there's not much of a change. So I don't know if the board is interested if they want Ed to come on or come in another time. It all looks pretty straightforward.
Judy, can you hear me?
Is that you, Ed?
Do you hear me now?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
I can hear you too.
Okay, the wage increase was by contract, obviously.
Okay.
And I tried to make a few adjustments into some of the other accounts. You mentioned the vehicle maintenance. We seem to be doing pretty good. We have a few newer vehicles. I tried to take the money where I could to try to offset that wage increase as much as I could.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay. So these are all just ways to kind of ameliorate the other. And you did pretty good because overall you came out to 11. Well, I've got you online, though. I'll get over there real quick. I wanted to ask you about sanitation. Electricity's all the same, Keith?
Yeah, we're leaving it the same now. It's unfortunately, like you take some of these buildings, they've been shut down for 2 or 3 months. So we're going to leave them flat with the understanding that if there is a spike because of kilowatt usage next year, we'll come back to you. Like the old city hall, you know, the pool, all that's been closed. Paving Field House has been closed. So we're going to leave it flat. I think it's a prudent thing to do. And as we get deep into next year, if there's any variations, we'll come back to you.
On the sanitation then, Ed, we've got a pretty hefty hike in the refuse collection.
Keith, can I go back to that question on electricity, Keith?
Yeah.
The last meeting I think we had before COVID and everything shut down, I know you had some real concerns about the electricity usage at the new football field. And I think you were talking to the UI like the next day or something. How did that all play out?
Well, first of all, the lights on the outside are more expensive than the engineers projected. So that's one not so good news thing. If you look at the Payton Field House, we only paid through April. So we really have a quarter of the year left, but we only have like 20% remaining. So we're going to be upside down on that line, Ray, and I'm going to come to you in the next board meeting to move some money in there. The thing that concerns me about Payton is it hasn't been used in almost 12 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it is. So the true use of this field house is going to be more than the 22,000. We're looking at 25 to 26,000 with no revenue offset. So look, it's a new building. It's, you know, everyone did an engineer estimate, guesstimate, whatever you want to call it. But we're going to have to add money to that. So when I come to you next meeting, which I think is Thursday, I'm going to have the year-end estimate from UI. We're going to need about 4 to 6,000 in that line. Then I'm going to up to 22 to 20, whatever the amount is that they need for this year, I'm going to add to next year. So it's probably going to go to 26,000 a year. It's more than we thought, more than the engineer thought. But here's the thing, Ray. It hasn't been rented out. So now one could say, okay, if you rent it out, you may have more usage, but then we're going to have a revenue offset. I did not book any revenue offset for the use of the Payton Field House because it's still in the Alderman subcommittee. Mm-hmm. Let's say you pick up $3,000 or $4,000 from that on an annualized basis. I don't know, I'm guessing. We're all going to have to guess, right? We don't know.
Sure.
At least that 22, if it goes to 26 and we have $3,000 or $4,000 on the revenue side, it's back to 22. I did not put any revenue projections for Payton Field House. We could add that because I think the aldermen are going to adopt something finally in the next 2 or 3 months. But I just want you to understand, I did not, that even if it goes up to 26, we should add 4,000 on the revenue side.
Okay, so that'll stay stable. Okay. Is that good, Ray?
Yep, thank you.
So Ed, on the refuse collection, is that a new contract or something?
No, it's not, Judy. The proposed 2021 amount that you see there is based on our actual cost that we're paying monthly times 12. The 1920 budget amount that you see there, There was a wage or a cost increase that I was not aware of when I budgeted 1920. I made that fact known to finance at the time, and it did not get taken care of.
Okay.
So that... The dollar amount for 2021 is what we are paying this year.
Okay.
Month.
Correct. Very good.
But keep in mind that July 1st, we're going to be under a new contract that hasn't been settled yet with a new vendor. Mm-hmm. So the dollar amount may be different.
Well, we're leaving the carding?
Well, city carding contract is up on June 30th.
Okay.
So July 1st, we will have new, it may be city carding again, we don't know, but the price obviously may go up.
Okay. Sounds good. Any other questions for Ed on sanitation? Now, I think I just want to applaud or take my hat off or something. I don't have a hat, but the Park and Recs adjusted their budget and adjusted the Payden budget. So if you look at the two, Park and Recs is under 5 and Payden is over 4. So they managed to keep the thing flat between the two of them, which I thought was pretty cool. Nobody else seems impressed. Okay. I could just picture Dennis over there. I don't know who else. Jim, were you on that committee? Jim Butler? Jim's watching Netflix, I'm pretty sure. All right. So there we go. So I'm not seeing a problem between Parks and Rec or Payden because it's flat. And the attendant was added in.
Now, just go, Judy. You see all the Little League and all that, those others?
Yep.
They have had discussions with the alderman, and I don't want to misspeak. I'll just, if Charlie or Drew want to chime in. The short end is the current year, the Little League and baseball and all those maybe shut down for future months. So that's going to impact the current year remaining balance, and it's going to impact potentially next year. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we've talked about on a macro level is, you know, do we start reducing budgets by 2,000 or 3,000 because sport A or sport B are cut, or do we take the approach from a budgetary standpoint, which is just a plan, we leave it as if it's an annualized program that's going to happen, and should it not happen, that the savings be dropped to the bottom line. And just for purposes of transparency and clarity, the budget was built as if the year is going to happen normally.
Okay.
That's a better approach, we think, than if we say, look, we may be closed till September or October. We reduce the budget by a quarter or you know, two-thirds of the year, then it opens sooner, and then we're coming back saying, hey, remember when we did that? We're short by $3,000 or $4,000. So I just want to understand the theory behind that.
Yeah, I think that's better. That was just like the point with the Board of Ed when they came in and they had their budget. And then I said, what model is this based on? And because there's so many different models that are going to possibly happen in September. And they just went with the normal, because what are you going to do? It's too hard to know what's coming. So, okay. So I don't see anything too alarming here. And I'm glad you brought that point up. Thank you, Keith. I see the attendant popping in here, I guess.
That's the attendant for the Payden Field. Is that the 4,800 or 40?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thought there is that while you have two custodians and they're part-time, having an attendant would allow them the ability to have one constant individual to attend events, understanding the heating, the air conditioning, the lockdown, the opening up. So it's just to have a one constant for the use of the building. Now, if we rent to an outside body, like let's say, you know, ABC baseball wants to rent the facility, they would cover the attendance cost for those events on those hours. So it could be a 4-hour minimum. And the aldermen have worked hard on developing procedures and policies and pricing out services. So what's it cost to rent the baseball field? What's it cost to rent the football field? What's the cost for the attendant? So some of that would be recouped. But if it's a high school football game or an internal city event, it would be no revenue offset. It would be a pure expense. But
and again, this wouldn't be an employee, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. But you have somebody, the constant, who's opening, locking, setting security alarms, etc.
Okay. Yes, we got the storms. Did I put that there? I don't think I put that there.
Well, that's the difference between the 60 and the 100.
Oh, there you go. That's true. It's not the cut. It's a change. Sorry. So, okay. So their arguments were good. I'm not sure how. I don't think the COVID should make much of a difference, because I hope people aren't saying, well, I feel like I'm having a heart attack, but you know, I think I'll stay home. I hope they're calling the ambulance, pretty much, at least now. And then do we need to ask them a little bit more about this trend going from Medicare to Medi-Cal? Does we want to investigate more, or what are you guys thinking at this point? You want to cut them again, but not quite so much? You want to leave them alone? You have any opinions on that at this point?
Again, I've made my concerns clear. I think the amount of money they have as their, if you want to call it rainy day fund, seems like a lot at $130,000. So any other department that we fund, if they don't spend the money, it comes back to the city, goes to the bottom line.
Yeah.
Here, it's just gone. So that's always been my concern.
Yeah, I agree. Would there be another way, Keith, accounting-wise, to have for somebody like Storm to have a rainy day fund that could be made available in that event, that we don't have to now put it in our budget, monthly or regular budget? Do you know what I'm saying? So you understand what they're saying, that if they do have a problem and they have they're going to need some money, but I'm not sure what the odds of that are. In the meantime, we're, like Ray says, we're carrying it. They seem to be doing fine with the 60 we've been giving them so far.
The only place to park it would be in the special working balance, which means you, right, if you're parking it there, you'd have to tax for it with the understanding that you may need it, right?
But at least it'll fall back down again if they didn't use it, where, like Ray says, it's going into their bank account.
Right, so if you leave it in the special working balance, you fund them at 60, whatever your board agrees is the additional add-on, let's say I'm making it up 20 versus 40. You put the 20 in the special working balance and you hold it there. When they come back and prove to you they need it, you would then drop it down from special working to this line and then appropriate it.
Right.
So I would park it in special working balance if you agree, whatever the delta is or the variance, and then we put it in there, and then you would have to approve it as a board to move it down on whatever criteria you place upon.
I'm not saying they need this much money to operate. They're saying they don't want to see their rainy day fund jeopardized, right?
That's kind of it. And my argument is, does the rainy day fund need to be that big?
Yeah.
And to your point, and what you're discussing, Judy, of course, if they needed money, of course, we would fund them. It's a critical service. Again, once you hand it off, it's gone. And if revenues come in higher than anticipated, it never comes back to our general fund if it's not spent.
Yeah, it's not going to ever come back. So that's probably the worrisome part. It doesn't seem like they're misspending it. It's just the way it's set up. It just isn't good for our bottom line.
Right.
Ray, if we put it in special working balance, I'm making it up. I'm not. It's your board decision. Let's just say you did the 100 grand, 60 in the line, 40 in special working.
Yeah.
It's still including what you tax.
Yeah.
But it requires 7 of the 10 members to move it down and pay them any additional.
All right. But at the end of the year, if they didn't use it, again, it falls back to the general fund.
Correct, ma'am.
But we would definitely have to earmark it so that it couldn't, people say, oh, there's an extra 40, we can use that. Of course, that always happens anyway, but I'll just put a note here just so we see. All right. Library. Grants don't matter, it's a pass-through. So this is the deal. I pretty much understood from Nicole what she's saying, that she could get by without more part-time assistants. She'd like them, but it didn't feel critical to me from what she was saying. Did everybody else get that impression too?
Yes.
Yes.
So we could take off that much. I'll just propose it for now. Okay. Let's see. Cemetery. Very dependable, the cemetery. Building official. I bet Carlo hasn't looked, because this is just way too flat for... Well, he's got changes. Look at that. Being a good boy. Maybe he's doing like you, Sam. Seth's not here. People are all left. They've gone to bed. We're almost there. Okay, we've got community development.
The only thing community development is the...
What was that, Judy? I'm sorry. No. I thought I hit the mute button. I kept on hitting the button. I'm like, what the heck's going on here? I'm sorry.
Nothing. I was just wondering if the building inspector was having a thing like you in the episode. I don't remember what the word was I used. I talked to Carmen. Carmen is still here? I'm sure we put him to sleep long ago, I would hope.
Hey, Carmen and Andrew have that line.
Go here.
Judy, can you go back up to line item 396, please? What is that?
I think that's a mistake.
Well, it's because you went from 1 to 500.
Yeah, it really actually was big. So it's just, we'll just call that 100%. This is just, it's not an important line at all.
All right.
All right. But yeah, it was just from so little to so much. That's huge. So do I have a Carmen or an Andrew here who wants to speak about community development?
We're both here. Carmen, I talked a little bit about this, and we'll each touch on a couple topics and try to keep it quick. I know it's getting late. So first off, most of you, I'm sure, know about the Factory Street development, 203 residential units with mixed use below have been approved. The owners of that parcel, the developers, are waiting on the city to essentially work out a deal with the scrapyard before they can proceed. And that goes for all the private development on the south side of Main Street. Without the scrapyard being out of there, you won't see anybody be able to build anything residential nearby. Route 34 status update is all the utility work is scheduled to begin, or some of the utility work is scheduled to begin later this summer, early fall. We look at the actual project construction, looks like springtime. I know we've all been hearing that for a very long time, probably sick of hearing it, which is why we don't report on it very often. But that is the best estimate we have. Fuel Cell Energy is going to be putting a fuel cell across the street from Bad Sons Beer Company. We have a pilot agreement with them that will bring the city $200,000 a year for the next 20 years for a total of $4 million. That parcel was previously bringing the city $1,500 a year. So it's going to go from $1,500 a year in tax revenue to $200,000 a year in tax revenue. So something that Carmen and the mayor and myself and the team are very proud of and very happy that we were able to bring that to the city. The sale of ARCA finally went through. That's going to be book, Keith, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a 1920. It's book 1920. But that was $390,000 after closing costs and some other things. The new business is operating in there. And they should be full swing very shortly. The city-owned property across from City Hall, we have got the 14 acres there. Carmen and I have been actively in for over a year working on the RFP over there, kind of taking our marching orders, I guess, or taking clues from some of the prospective developers we've met with as to what exactly should be a part of that. What do they need to see to best develop the land? So we're working that out in terms of the infrastructure, whether or not we're going to fill the land out towards to the river to make kind of a tabletop effect off of Main Street. So that's all kind of the hard work that's going on behind the scenes in terms of engineering and things like that. a lot of you don't know this, but the Army Corps of Engineers, who is we have the levee system that is along the Naugatuck and the Housatonic. For many, many years, the city has had an unacceptable rating because of our lack of maintenance of that system. So due to the hard work of Commissioner Armino and Public Works and some outside vendors, for the first time in a very long time, we have an acceptable rating. The reason that's important is you could have no no development adjacent to that levee, whether it be on the Naugatuck River side or the Housatonic side off Main Street, without that acceptable rating. You need to apply then to the Army Corps of Engineers to develop in that area. So we're good there. Again, something we probably didn't publicize enough, but took a lot of work behind the scenes to get that done. Final couple things, 67 and 71 Minerva Street, which is a former automotive industrial lot. It straddles Minerva and Caroline. It's a big kind of steel girder building. That's got some environmental issues, but the city does own it. We're going to be going out to an RFP on that. That will hopefully bring us some prospective developers and then some funds to help clean that up. But another chicken or the egg situation, the state wants to see that you have a viable and useful end user before they'll give you money to clean it up. So last but not least, Judy, you're not at this line item yet, but I know there was $100,000 proposed for grant matches. And we talked a little bit about that briefly. We have projects a lot of times that we want to do that over the last year, we've noted, well, we don't have any local funds to be able to contribute, whether it be a 10% match for a state or federal grant. For example, we're looking at kind of a refinishing and complete overhaul of Chatfield Street from basically Roseland all the way to the new Route 8 on-ramp almost in Ansonia. So like underneath that little overpass that's terribly bumpy. All new sidewalks, all new infrastructure, new storm drains, all that. But it requires a 10% match. You're looking at a $3 million project that would cost the city about $300,000. Probably would be well worth it for us to start to invest in our infrastructure in that way. But again, we don't have the first dollar of that $300,000 to even consider that project at this moment. So that's all I have. I know Carmen wanted to touch a little bit on the road behind DJ, so I'll let him go on that one.
Thank you, Andrew.
So we have the property behind BJ's. Like Andrew said, we weren't able to do anything with it for years because of the bad rating we had on the levee. But now since the levee has been upgraded to acceptable, we had put the property out to bid middle of last year. We had one successful bidder, George Schrade. And right now, George has applied to Wetlands. He put his application in for Wetlands, which went very well. And he also put his application as a P&Z, and I do not foresee any problems with it. So we're hoping maybe by the end of June or their July meetings, he will be approved, and we'll be able to get $365,000 into the coffers and get that property back up on taxes.
What will he put there, Carmen?
He is going to put a building up, and he's going to mainly use it for parking for his trucks.
Sounds good. So are we envisioning this $100,000 then as something that could grow, that we would start with $100,000 this year, and then we would grow it up to some point? And then you guys could take out of it, kind of like we did with Blight, I think, or?
The difference here, Judy, is since this is matching, any increase we give to this line is a hard hit to your mill rate because we don't know what the matching is, right? So for example, with the Corona, we know that if we put it on the expense side at $100,000, we're gonna put it on the revenue side $75,000, right? With the matching, some could be a 50-50, some could be a 25-75, some could be a 10-90. We don't know. We can't say to you, like Corona, we know. If it's an item approved on the list and it's $100,000, you're getting 75 back on revenue. The goal here is there's some that have a different percent distribution. So we don't know what to put on the revenue side. We can't put 50-50 or we can't put 100-100. But Corona, we know, put 75 in the revenue. So
we wouldn't have any revenue on this. It's not like
you might.
Okay, you're saying that this thing would be to pay for the whole thing, and then the revenue comes in, and then there's our matching. I guess I was thinking of this more as this is just the matching part here, standalone to be used.
This is our, so let's say someone says, hey, we'll do sidewalks in the downtown area 50-50, you match for first 50.
Okay.
So in this case, we have the 100 in the budget. We would then say to you, okay, we're going to get 50 in revenue. Now you increase your revenue by 50. But it would be after the grant list year and after the taxes are done, because we don't know. We don't know what we're going to get in matching.
No, and it could very well be it goes the whole year and we don't use it, too.
So
how would we, I mean, there's several accounts on here. Maybe that's something we could talk about offline, Keith, is I find it very hard to budget certain times because we have these big bunches of money here and there, like the police outside work and things like this and the blight. There's quite a few of these. And there's a, you know, they're pass-throughs or there's a matching and they're all mixed in with just the regular expenses. And it makes it hard. I wish we could somehow isolate these because they're kind of like all different animals. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And I don't know. I know
they're not animals. They're beasts.
Beasts. Okay. Beasts. We're little kitty cats like Chris's. All right. Sorry.
If I could for just 1 second on this 100,000, I'm sorry, Keith, I wasn't looking at it as going to have any revenue on the opposite side. I was just thinking as an expenditure and a hit and just something we continue to have money there for in the event that we need it to contribute to one of these projects. I don't know that you'd have any give back or any revenue on the backside.
Well, let's say it's a 50-50 match, right, Andrew?
Okay. So
let's say Patty puts in for 100 grand and it's a 50-50 match. We really only need 50. And on a revenue side, we would put 50 from the match, their match.
Right.
Okay. So right. So the example where I was giving, where we have to come up with 10% of the total 90, you know, or the total 100. So let's say it's a $100,000 project. We're responsible for 10% of it. We're taking 10,000 out of this line item at that point, and we're not booking any revenue. You know what I mean? That's more what I was thinking.
And we could do that, or we could book the 100 and 90 goes on the revenue side. You could do either way.
Okay. I'll leave that up to you. I'm out of my teepee. I just know that for my money, there were certain things that Carmen, myself, Patty, I think a lot of them hesitated on. He said, well, we don't have the money to even contribute. So kind of why bother, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Judy, this is seed money to get more grant money that we wouldn't get if we didn't have the seed money.
That's exactly what it is. And I'm like Drew, I'm not exactly sure how the best way to go, but yeah, I would like to talk to you like maybe tomorrow or something, Keith, about some of these, because they're each one's a little tiny bit different and it's hard. Or like the cultural committee revolving, there's this, there's that. They're all kind of oddballs, you know?
Yeah.
So the basically for the board, what you want to be thinking about is, do we need to put 100,000 in our budget in some form so that there is the seed money available for grants? So that would be the issue. Anybody have any questions for Carmen or Drew?
Yes, actually, Andrew, with this new development coming downtown Derby, has there been any kind of anyone asked about giving some money to the WPCA to upgrade the plant for scent control, since there's going to be so many units that are within 100 yards of a multi-story building?
So that was a part of the conversation during the approval process through planning and zoning, and the developers did have some creative ideas they had seen in other communities, certain type of trees that can absorb some of the scent, certain chemicals and different processes that could help aid in the biological process. They did do some research on that. But you guys are doing such a good job down there, Chris. I even made a comment to Pete the other day. I don't smell it anymore.
You're just used to it like we are.
I think you got to start having more fiber in people's diets in the valley. I don't smell it anymore. So,
the whole thing is Shelton. It's coming from Shelton across the river.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, that's Shelton.
So that was a talk. And then number two, of course, you know, we have the tie-in fees with a development of that magnitude. Carmen and I had talked a little bit previously with the WPCA board and the director about the tie-in fee, which is substantial per unit, and maybe paying that over time. So that may be something that could be used to offset some of that stuff too. But that's all stuff we'll certainly have to explore, because the whole downtown is contingent upon you guys operating well and being kind of screened a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I would think so.
Thank you. Good point.
Good question.
All right, anybody else? All right, we got our flood control cheaper. Yay, flood control. That's all we're gonna say there. Zoning and planning, nothing. Yay. Okay. What do we got here? Senior center. We already talked to her. And so we're waiting to hear about these things, and then we'll make decisions as time goes by. Parking division, pass-through. Well, it's not a pass-through. Actually, we book more than we pay out, right, Keith? It was like 20 grand last year we made off of the parking garage or division.
Yeah. The problem with parking this year is going to be the revenues are in the tank. Archie left for really the last quarter plus. With Corona, we just opened the gate. We're not really charging people. So the revenue is going to really, really tank this year.
Yeah.
So we're, again, building the budget on as if it's a normal year. Now, I say that with what the hell does normal mean right now? I don't know. I'm not being funny. I don't know.
Nobody knows. No.
So we build it as a normal year.
That's all we can do. We just got to proceed as if it's normal and then...
Oh, and the other thing is there's no meter collection. And the courthouse has been closed for 8 weeks. And they pay a lease payment for so many spots per day for the courthouse. So that
So what's Rich DiCarlo doing? Just wandering up and down Main Street?
Yeah, he's 007 is on high intel operations right now.
Okay. Bonded indebtedness. So this here's is where we've got the principal and interest from the bonds. It goes down and down and down. It's down 36%. Then we've got the whole thing we talked about, the control, Johnson Controls loan. We have to start paying to TD Bank. This, everything in pink, by the way, means it's a pass-through. Pass-through pink. I don't have them all, Mark, but I'm hunting them down. Making my own map here. So that's over on the revenue side, so that's just really not significant. So we are up by 125, thanks to the, no, 125, thanks to the Johnson Controls. So we will still probably recoup that. It's just, it's going to be a much longer period, Keith.
Madam Chair, you will not recoup it in fiscal year 2021.
No, I meant like in 20 years or something, we'll recoup it eventually.
Goal is to recoup some reduction in the utility bills in 21-22.
Okay. We'll start recouping little by little.
Yes, ma'am.
A little recouping. Okay. So it's not, what I'm saying is it's not a lost cause. It just is a little bit of a slow starter, right?
Yes, and we're behind about 8 to 10 months.
Okay. I just got to push them along there. LOSIP, same old. I think LOSIP looked different on the revenue side, so maybe we got updated over here. I have a list of things I'll send you tomorrow, little thingies that I want to figure out. City Hall maintenance went up for the...
Yeah, the theory here, Madam Chair, is there's no line, there's a couple expenses that we come across in the course of operations that are like, where does it really go, you know? And, or what does it apply to? So in this case, let's say employee X goes to a conference in Meriden. There's no line for us to reimburse mileage reimbursement for city employees or officials to attend certain events.
Well, we used to have that here, and then a couple of years ago they said no, and they took it out. But
history repeats itself. We want it back in.
Yeah, because it seemed really, it's just for miscellaneous stuff. If you can't go get gas out of the pump, you need some reimbursement sometimes. So yeah. Makes perfect sense. How about this? Oh, there's the Corona. Okay. And then we already talked about that quite a bit. And then the copy machines, we got more. They're colored.
Yeah, it is colored. It's segregated. It's duplex and all that. It's actually cheaper than printers, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like she said, you just print one and then you copy it.
Yep.
That seems like cheating to me. I don't know, but all right. Makes sense. I'd much rather operate a copier than a printer. Stop that, Jenny. Stop. Then we've got all these suspicious items. Holy mackerel. $250,000. That was crap. And I'm assuming they're all the same because...
The other one is a little different and is a WPCA bills. And just for purpose of giving the backdrop on that, when you guys, well, we built that budget last year, we did not include the cap fee. So that's that $250 per meter. Mm-hmm. And that's quickly led to a philosophical discussion as to, okay, you want us to pay you the cap fee, WPCA. Well, we do your payroll, so we should charge you for that. And we do your payables, and we should charge you for that. And oh, by the way, you owe us for pension. So we kind of did a timeout, and we said, look, we need to step back and start to quantify the technical term, the yins and the yangs, meaning what do we pay, what are we doing that you should pay us for, and what are you doing that we should pay you for? So this is, if we were to pay straight usage rates on the meters or without city meters, so it would be the high school, the middle school, the city hall, the old city hall, the pool, that's what we pay per year on the sewer tax, not including the capital assessment. So Jack Walsh, myself, Ben Marino would agree that we have to have a discussion as to, are we going to start billing each other, or are we going to net each other, net the expenses out from each other? So I would leave this in because that's the meter cost for properties that we own or that are city properties. Okay. And then we may see a change in the next couple of months as to, like, the pension expense, we may get a revenue from them where they're going to pay their share of the pension. Or we may see that we're going to charge them some percent for the administrative fees for the payables. But it's premature, Judy, but right now that's the straight, if we were to pay the straight usage meter rate for each of the city-owned and Board of Ed-owned buildings.
Okay, so we're not sure. So that's good enough for now, placeholder.
I would leave it there.
So a Memorial Day parade, obviously we didn't have one this year. So next year, though, it would fall in May. So I guess it would just an 8,000 will drop down and we'll put it repopulated, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And then some of these are big ones I've highlighted because which of these, I think the Historical Society and the Lake Housatonic, those are just optional, but I think
they request that amount every year. So yeah. There's no statutory obligation to pay those, just like with the Boy Scouts or Boys and Girls Historic, Boy Scouts, culture events, that's a pass.
Yeah.
Some of them are based on per capita, like Umbrella, Teen.
I wondered about the out of, like, the Boys and Girl Club. It's probably been a while since we've, like, checked in with other towns to see what they're contributing. It would be interesting to know how many people are contributing to them and how much. Or are we very sure that things are good? I mean, are these worth a check into?
You're getting into a philosophical discussion. Like, the Boys and Girls does a lot of good for young people that go there versus sitting on the streets.
No, I think it's wonderful. But I'm saying, are there 50 other towns giving them $10,000, or is it just...
Boys and Girls, Shelton and Ansonia is what we... Shelton and Derby contribute to the Boys and Girls Clubs in Shelton.
Okay.
Umbrella, you know, that's...
Umbrella's, yeah, obvious.
Culture events is for the... Now, take, for example, culture events, right?
Yeah.
We're not having concerts on the green right now, so this year's budget may have some money left over, and if we don't go into the summer and whatnot, there may be savings on that. Again, we're building it on a normal year. So the 10-8 for culture events may go down.
Okay. How about city-owned properties? What's the deal with that? I don't remember what that is.
That's expenses for city-owned property. So if we own a property and we have to do any maintenance or upkeep or bills, that's where that comes out of. You could reduce that. That's, we don't use all that. I mean, you look, we use 5% of it.
Yeah, so we could take off, what, 15? Take off 15,000?
Sure, with the understanding that if we own more properties and we have to do things with them, we'll come back to you.
Well, yeah. But then that may be good because then we'll have more stuff going on. All right.
There are a couple of properties right now the city is taking over, starting to take over. To go back to culture events, that's our share of the expenses. It's not a pass-through. The other account has the pass-through where they put deposits in. This is our share. They have another. I'd love to put both accounts in here, to be honest with you. It's a pain in the ass the way we have it right now, but this is our share of it. So if there's less events, we won't have to pay.
Well, but now we're talking about July through, so hopefully things are kind of woken back up again, so back to normal-ish. Could have some special shopping trips, if you know what I mean. what else we got? Valley Arts Council. Now, the Valley Arts Council moved to Ansonia, but I assume we'd still support it just because it's Valley, right?
Correct.
That's Steve and Rich. Civil War Monument, was that?
Yeah, that one, I think we're done with that one, Judy.
That's what I was thinking, because it's all put up. It's very pretty.
Yeah, I would take that out. You could take that out.
Okay. And fuel looks like it stayed the same.
Well, I again, so that we could start to track that. I left it with the current year. What will go in there is we'll reduce it by, or we'll include in those numbers the amounts that we're going to move down there, like the town clerk's staff position, the HR position, and then whatever is the delta between what's in there and what we put in there would be a reduction.
Okay.
So special working amounts, let's say we put the 30 and the 40, that's 70, we reduce it by 28.
Right. This is just like a free-for-all at this point, yes. So I'm just going to kind of leave it. Yes. The $1,000,005, that's what we have committed as per the 12-point plan, right?
Correct, ma'am. Eight point plan.
Eight point? Oh, I was adding points.
It's really the 7 that is 8.
All right, fine. The pointed plan. All right. Can't remember those things. Engineering. Oh, my God. All right. I guess we're just, I just feel really stuck on this, right?
Which one?
Well, I mean, it looks like it's going to be 70 and another 70 and then maybe like 10 a year forever. And then the government's going to think of more stuff because they can. I don't know.
It's a pebble in our shoe, ma'am. There's no doubt about it. So let's say you take the 70, yep. See the 29,787.
Yep.
We have about 23,000 in bills that we're going to have to increase the 1920 budget from 30. Let's just say the 60 for argument's
sake. Yeah, he said, I think another 20 he was going to need.
Yeah, it's like 24 is what I think he had. Okay. So even if we increase the amended 1920, which we have some unanticipated revenue in the revenue side that can cover that increase, then you could reduce to 70 by maybe 20. But he's still around 50 a year, you know?
Oh, so it's not 70. It's 70 because of the 20 shortfall here.
Right. So if we do the 20, let's say, I think it's 23 or 24, I'll come to you where to take it from. Then the 70 gets reduced by the 24.
Okay, that's better. All right, so I'm going to cut this 20.
Understanding, I'll come to you where to increase 1920 to cover those bills.
Okay. Then we've got the services have gone up. Oh, weren't using services, I guess, and decided we needed to use services, or?
Where are you, ma'am?
Community development. Here, I'll go like this, see?
That's $1,000. I mean, it's just
oh, right in here. So, oh yeah, $7, sorry. Okay, so it's just something we need to put back. We used to have it, then we took it out, now it's just something we're needing. Is that, what is it, Andrew? Because that's our engineers, and then this is community development engineers.
I think that was something Patty had for like a planning for one of the many projects. You might have needed some planning through our engineering firm. That's my guess.
Okay. Board of Ed. It's our favorite one to cut. Do we know of this? Just curiously, of this 1,099,710 increase. How much of it correspond? And I'm sure it was in their budget. It's my bad. How much of that corresponded to their wage increases?
I thought he said 600 to 700. I think it was six and change, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Like that's 600 and some thousand?
Something, yeah.
It doesn't count the new person at central office? It's just increases?
I thought it was wage increases plus the new person, and special ed was the other 300 to 400 is my thought, but I could double check with Mark tomorrow.
Okay.
That's
all. Well, Dr. Conway has said he's willing to take this number down depending on what he finds out about what they're getting back from special ed because of COVID, right?
He did mention there would be a reduction in correlation with
that. In his operating budget, so I'm assuming here. Yeah. Okay, so that we have to wait and see. And then this is the thing that we want to populate with this stuff down here. I didn't want to do it now so it would match.
Right. So here's the Judy, when you mentioned that, just to paint the picture for everyone, there's a Board of Ed grant that Judy's on right now. And then there's a Board of Ed Alliance grant, which was down five lines to the 2,048,102. When I thought about what you said, Judy, here's the difference. The Alliance number, which is the 9,900 account, which is five or six down.
Yeah.
That directly correlates with the ECS and the portion of ECS that's Alliance, okay?
But if you go to revenue, here.
Correct. There's a direct correlation.
Yep.
The other grant line is what we call the pass-throughs. Now, if you remember what the auditor and the state said was, hey, Derby, you guys are doing this wrong. The Board of Ed grant should go directly to the Board of Ed and you shouldn't even book them. So Izzo now has that cash account and he's receiving it and booking it on his side.
Okay.
So that's why that Board of Ed grant 9110 is zero. What I'm afraid of, Judy, if we move the Alliance up to Board of Ed grants, it's going to commingle what is theirs directly, which is the Alliance 2048, versus what's a pass through.
No, that's fine. I just want to kind of get over. I just don't want to have two. I don't want this thing called fund balance replenishment.
No. So I'll help you with that. We're changing that to education. You see how it says Education Grants Alliance above it?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to say Education Alliance in the bold. Now I just have to change to that.
Okay, and shouldn't it also be part of the 90? Oh, no, okay. So Board of Ed is 9,100. Board of Ed grants is 9,110. So, yeah, it would be really cool if this was like 9,120. But if you can't change it, that's not a big deal.
No, we can.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to get them all so it's kind of like boom, 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 and not like over here in this weird name and in this in between. I'm very, what was the name of that detective, which is so good?
Columbo?
No, I'm definitely nothing.
Starsky and Hutch?
Well, the guy, the weird guy. Everything had to be neat.
Monk.
Monk! Yes, I'm like the budget monk. Things like this just, they make me nuts. I'm just like, it's in the wrong spot. I can't help it. I know it's stupid, but I still, it just...
Speaking of Judy, is there a way that we could put one more line in there just to see how much we're getting back from different, like the Board of Ed, the police, the library, just that we're getting back this year because of the COVID?
Oh, I don't think most people know. I know the school's waiting to hear.
The only schools is special is transportation. I don't know if they're paying.
Yeah, they're doing their negotiations.
Well, I would assume electricity and things since the school hasn't been opened.
Well, the way you would get that, Chris, is their expenditure to date would be less, or their year-end expenditure would be less than the budget, and then it drops down. Right. So let's take the electrical for the high school. It turns out to be 90% of budget. Okay. That 10% remaining would be part of what drops down, which Dr. Conway is asking to be put in a special ed reserve fund for the city, like Payton. If there's any revenue, any expenditures left over, it would be your end of the year balance that drops down. That's the way we would be able to quantify it, Chris.
I see. Okay.
In the expense line. The expense line would be less than budgeted.
Yeah. Right. So if you look at your column G, Chris, anything that looks unnaturally high, in other words, over 12%, let's say over 10%, it could be a question to them, well, is that because you haven't paid your bill yet because it's so early in the month? Or, you know, is there something related to COVID here? Because I've asked everybody this question over and over. Nobody really has. It doesn't seem like it affected most people because nobody's like laid anybody off. We're talking citywide, right? Obviously.
Like water usage should have gone down. Electricity should have gone down. Such things like that.
To some degree, right? Because think about like City Hall. Even though City Hall may have not been opened 100% from a manpower perspective, right? So you might see some savings on the number of CPUs turned on. All the lights in the hallway were on, the air conditioning was on, the heat was on, right? So the number of kilowatts may not be as great as one would think, because it might be like in Mark's office, he might have had two computers on versus three. In my office, we might have had two versus four. But yet the lights were on, the AC was on, the heat was on to still heat and light those offices. So
I'm talking about like the library was closed. There was no one in there. No one was using lights. The schools were closed. Nobody was in there. Nobody was using lights.
So what will happen is the line, when they pay their bills, the balance will just drop down. You know, we'll be able to say like in 3 weeks, look, you had $250,000 for electricity. You spent $210,000. That $40,000 should go to the bottom line.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. The question is more, is there anything we have to take into account now starting in July for what this budget is for, right? Are things going to be kind of open, or do we need to see how that affects this new budget? Like, wait a minute, we're not going to give you that much, right?
But correct.
Nobody seems to know. Give it
to them only because of you're looking at a whole school year, a whole fiscal year next year, mm-hmm. if COVID doesn't come back, of course. So I think we would have to plan to give them back the whole thing. But we would have known that we recouped at least some of the money this year from because of COVID.
Yeah, and I think we will. I just don't think we can see that clearly because of other factors and because none of them are huge enough. The only one's big enough is the special ed and the bus transportation. That's a big number.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to see that and actually apply that to this new budget. But just... they turned off, and God knows if it even turned off the lights in all these places. I don't know. But
well, we have the new system where the lights dim and they go off after a certain amount of time now.
Mm-hmm.
True. So
we looked at the electricity. I'm trying to remember how it looked with the.
Now keep in mind, Chris, in fairness, we don't have any of the savings from the solar panels, right?
Right.
So the budget was built on some savings from that, and that's 10 months behind. So.
Yeah.
Well, we're not realizing that, which is hurting us because we have the expense coming next year, but no savings in the utility bills. That's why when you look at the utility lines, Chris, they're relatively flat to the current year because it would be a pure guess and would be total, like.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah. We would have no idea, you know?
But the good news is, I mean, we still have 37% of the budget left. Right. From last year, we only got a month to go, so we may have a nice little bit drop down. But well, we should
just the electricity. Just remember that's just through April 1. So we have the quarterly bills that we're paying now in May.
Okay.
So that's going to go up. You're going to use a lot of that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a problem too. Is not everything is paid every month. So this is as of this column is as of 6/1, but it doesn't mean that everybody's paid up through May 31st. So. Right. So anyway, I think the board has had a chance to see it all. To see what we're up against. There's a few things we can cut, a few things here and there. There's dibs and dabs. We all know what the bigger targets are. And we got to, what do you guys want to do Thursday? Where do you feel like you're at? Do you want, I mean, it's sounding to me, Keith, and I think it's always true, that there's just going to be information coming in and coming in and coming in. It's never going to really stop.
No, Thursday, I think, Mr. Mayor, you wanted to come and share some thoughts. And then whoever you want on the punch list, tell us, and we'll have them there for Thursday. We're going to come back to you with the senior center to clarify that.
Definitely want to see what they're doing. What else you guys want to see? The schools, we're just kind of hoping, waiting to see what they find out. I think there's a lot more we want.
No, not really. We talked to the big ones.
Yeah. I think we're good where public works, because it's just not very different. Senior center has to clarify that, because it's quite a bit of money for a very little small place. I would like to talk to you before Thursday, Keith, on all of this pass-through crap. We can get a better idea of,
There's some we have to add. There's some we have to add to the revenue side. So let's just close the door, throw stuff, and kick the tires and get through it. Absolutely.
Okay. So anybody else you guys want to talk? So Keith will be sending you guys a new budget, let's say worst case, Thursday morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Where we will have made a few, these changes from tonight will reflect, and we'll make a few more things. And then we'll see what Senior Center has to say. Is there anybody else you guys want to talk to? Is there anything else you guys want to know?
No, not me.
For our Thursday, are you guys ready to sit down and kind of say, this is what we want to do and see where that leads us?
I think we can start looking and making some cuts Thursday.
You ready to do that? Yeah.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
I don't think there's too much more to talk about.
Not really.
I think we've been very efficient this year. I have to say, although it hurts me to say it, but I have to say that Keith is really organized. And I don't hate to say that, Keith. It's true.
What the hell does that mean? Holy shit.
Yeah, that was harsh.
What? I was joking. I was saying I hate to give you a compliment. Why not?
No problem.
You don't watch enough HGTV, Keith.
It's a tough year, guys. There's so many unknowns.
No, but I think you've done an excellent job. I mean, you're very organized, much more so than I've seen for a while. So it's been easier for me. Okay.
Okay.
It was a good thing.
Thank you, ma'am.
Not very good at giving compliments, apparently.
No.
That's just too sarcastic. I can't
help
myself. It's bad. I'm like, think of Monk and then think of him being really sarcastic. See?
Okay.
All right. That's you. Okay.
That's me. Sarcastic All right. Monk. All right, then. We will send you new information. As always, if you decide you want to talk to somebody on Thursday or you have a question for Thursday, you are welcome to send me an email, or if it's easier, you can reach out to Keith. Is that okay, Keith, with you?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Okay. And then maybe we'll throw together our best budget we can think of Thursday night and see how it looks. You want to do that?
Yes.
At least the first pass, right?
First pass, yeah. So I don't think there's much left to talk about at this time, and most of our data's in. If we don't have it, we'll kind of guess on a few and mark them as guesses and then see what happens.
Yep. All right.
I don't know about you guys. I kind of like this Zoom stuff because the budget's right here. You can hear. It kind of, to me, almost works better. What do you guys think? I know, Chris, you were wanting to have a...
Yes, I would like a hard copy.
No, I mean, you like everybody in the same room, or... Or is Zoom growing on you?
I like it like this. At least people could ask questions and answer them, and you could at least, you're right there, you know?
Yeah, I kind of like it. This was 3.5 hours. But it wasn't too bad because I'm sitting in my comfortable chair.
Right. As soon as you hang up, you're home.
Yeah, I get to go make
a cocktail.
All right. Thank you, everybody, very much. I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 9:27.
Thank you.